And I am Paul Darrow. I'm with our stormwater division at the county, and I manage our retrofit engineering group and our operations program.
I'm Phil Canovo. I'm a resident of Fort Kingston. I'm a little bored.
Terry H. One, the sanitation coordinator for the Fort Kingston.
Laura Grunwald, Fort Kingston Commissioner.
Jim Polaris.
Marilyn Clark, Commissioner.
Steve Peacock, Commissioner.
Lindsay Gray, Secretary to the Board. Paul Rutter, Officer.
Phil and I, Angela and Tim, have always been working on this for quite a while. It's kind of evolved over the last couple of years with the Washington Boulevard Park being done and the coordination between the port and the county. Recently, Public Works introduced a concept of a regional stormwater facility that could involve port property. So we thought we would wrap that up into one area and kind of make a presentation to the commissioners. No decisions to be made, just kind of an update on where the county is and what the county's thinking is. So.
Yeah, okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I think you're probably all familiar with the complete street component from first, and then the path component from first to third. And we'll be talking, at least initially, on the Washington Boulevard about the segments from Central and First Street. So just for status update, we're in final design. They expect to wrap it up by the end of the year, and construction at this point is planned for fall of 2019. Specific dates haven't been set, but it would probably start in late summer. So we're here today to talk with you about the potential interest of the port in partnering with the county on several streetscape elements. And if you look in your packet, I've got some examples of some of those components. The first is wayfinding. The county, the complete street project, had a lot of these elements in it, and the county had a lot of discussion internally about what the road department would fund, and the decision was that they would take care of all the street components and other components, but some of the quote extras that might be more of urban design elements, they're looking at some community participation to help fund them. So the county's construction budget on this is about $1.4 million. The components that wanted to run by you with wayfinding, you can see on the first page of the handout, there's a couple of locations that are being considered down here at Central and up here at Millennium. There's a clear sign, plain way, a couple of design concepts that have been developed that illustrate what it would look like in the next one. And, we think that that's a possibility, and we're wondering if you guys ever feel that that's something you'd like to see as part of the project. The second component are sidewalks and ways, kind of a cool product too. A couple of opportunities. One is, if I think a couple of road inlay in this area here by the plaza, and it helps blend the aggregate exposed aggregate surface with the scored sidewalk and provide kind of a point of interest with an idea. The other, and Jim suggested these as something to consider, would be inlays that are along the sidewalk that maybe have a community theme. Could be anything from, I'm sure you guys have seen anything from grass, footsteps to stencils, errands, or fish, all kinds of different options.
Isn't that kind of some those elements?
Yeah, so that was a possibility. Another is street furniture, and those could be, benches, tables, trash receptacles, possible locations. So there's a fairly substantial open areas here in front of the great shop. That also there's a possibility of a little overlook, bench assembly here, maybe some trash receptacles. That would be another possibility. Irrigation is a component. The county's trying to go with low maintenance, where we can. Low maintenance throughout all our landscaping, but in this location, irrigation might be a better fit given the park setting. So that is a possibility.
So, Phil, to the inclusion of the triangle that's owned by Ms. Issa, is that, if I see it in the design, is that something in the county that we plan to finish?
Yes, it is, and those conversations are underway right now. And it's going in a positive direction. All the indicators are that that will be resolved. There is an issue in front of the hotel as well, and closing issues in a historical being cleared out there. All the indications are that that will be become part of the project. And you know, some of the design features that we've had in the various iterations show the path coming up here, and we know that you had to put in your access to your town hall. We truly were up to the rain last week, and we'll figure out, you know, what the alternatives are. Come back, talk to you guys about that. The last piece of the handout on Washington Boulevard is just some cost estimates on what some of these things might, you know, how much it might cost to these things. And very scalable. A lot of them can stay, but they don't all have to be done now. They could be done like the street furniture, the way fine, they could be added to it. The other concrete work, obviously, that's something that probably needs to be done as part of construction. The county's willing to do, you know, the design on these things and the field. And wanted to just put it you guys to see if you wanted to participate, and if you did, what might be the level of participation. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to, you know, make a big decision now or even next week, but sometime within the next month, 6 weeks, might be a good timing. Mm-hmm. So that's just a very quick overview of, you know, any questions or comments. Glad to answer them.
So the irrigation component, is that just for your little pump out there on the sidewalk?
Yeah, that's right. And then also on the triangle property, I think putting a little vegetation screen there in front of the electrical utilities, you know, might be a nice feature. So something that would blend with the park and create kind of a seamless.
So do you look at tapping into our existing system, or how would you do that?
That would, as one system. And Tim's mentioned that at some point he'd be interested in talking with the court about taking that piece over, and it just becomes one part.
Okay.
So that's right. That's right. That's right.
Are these costs here, are these that the cost of the court would be responsible for?
That's that.
Yeah, that's correct.
Before we go further, could you speak again about the schedule?
The design is we're at a really solid 60%. We'd like to get to 90% by the end of October in the next 2 months. So that would be, in my mind, the time period for dialing in new features. So it's September, October.
Mm-hmm.
And then wrap up the construction documents following January, February, and I think Tim would like to do that earlier in the year, even though construction might be a little later, to get them, you know, get in the front end of the bidding season. So advertise perhaps February, March, construction. You know, I'm thinking from, I think he's considering September, start date in September, kind of the tail end of the, in the other tourist season, and then maybe 90 days to wrap it up, so wrap it up in November. It's not a big project, but it's kind of tight space, so it'll take a little time.
Well, I never picked that transfer last week, and they're very concerned about this, so I'm sure that you're coordinating with them, but that is their main bus stop, and there really aren't a lot of options, so hopefully that's in your schedule of coordinating with this account of how they're going to get passengers down.
It is. You know, we'll coordinate with them on that as well as the bus shelter positioning them. Because they drop down the ferry lane and to move around the back edge there.
Probably the traffic stops up there on the weekend.
Oh,
we'll
go
through it. You know, normally during the week in September you can do that.
Yeah.
But on Saturday or Sunday, the bus couldn't get through. But so it's an issue for them.
Hmm.
Let's come in on weekend.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel we might make some provisions on the contract documents that they have to, the contract has to provide.
But next summer, the passenger ferry will be up and running and probably doing pretty well. So next September, the two ferry buses, construction, that's a recipe for a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yeah, it's gonna, we've met with Stephanie several times, but it's been a few months, so we've moved to some background and start really getting into detail. So you guys will just, you know, since you want a little bit, we think, and we can come back with you or whatever process you think that would be helpful to try to
Are the light poles that are in town and the light poles in the, you know, greater campus, if you will, the same kind of light poles there as they
are? Are we set from the county set?
Yeah, but those are accessible and readily available to get those kinds of light poles, right?
Yes, yeah, they'll all match. Yeah. And so
I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about central to Maine? Obviously there's going to be issues with the parking lot on the corner, the yacht club, access.
There are. There's a couple of issues. There's some right-of-way issues, and there are some construction issues. Now, I don't know what the port has ownership here, but the central funding on this project creates a right-of-way requirement that we normally wouldn't have in the new requirement. It's called a clear right-of-way. It's basically the federal on a clear tile on the right-of-way. So there's any encroachment into the right-of-way of the structure. That component needs to be clear, either through an agreement or by nature. So there will be a modest office from the kind of road fund will be working with the property owner on basically an agreement for them to utilize the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a separate process that's already underway and happening. The other, you know, in terms of the sidewalk and the construction, the sidewalk is coming out a little bit into the road. It's not going back, so we're not going to cause any issues in terms of access or landscaping. There might be some very modest kind of temporary construction impact on the back side. So nothing is going to change the driveway approach. On this side, you know, obviously there's a little roll curb, so the parking is still going to be available, but the people will be crossing the bike lane and the sidewalk, so there's going to be a lot of paint, a lot of signs, a lot of things to give people the visual messages that there are pedestrians here. So, but, you know, on the right side, down here we eventually have a stormwater facility, which will fit in, but I think that's going in a different direction. But there's a little bit of sea grass down there, so it's not visible on the other end. It's approaching people into the port. It's a little bit of, you know, a formalized crosswalk. There'll be a new luminaire street light here to light the crosswalk.
Yeah.
And so instead of a 10 scale, it'll be a 3 scale. And but it'll match, it'll have some architectural details that match the, you know, 3 scale one, so it will, you know, look halfway. So again, with that request, it's the way you were...
The parking lot on the corner of Main and
right here?
Yeah.
So access into there, I see green there. Is that the bike lane green I see, or is that vegetation green?
That's bike lane green.
Okay.
So here's your driveway approach right here.
Right, gotcha.
Commercial approach. Okay. And then, of course, we're coordinating with Brick Lane.
So what issues have you heard from the people that are on the upper part of Washington Boulevard? Because we've been hearing issues from people, I'm sure all of us have, about holes in the road and the road sinking and...
Well, they're concerned about people in front of their house. They're concerned about how close the trail can be to their property. They're concerned about diesel stabilization of the slope. So we went up there, we put some survey tape in, here's where it's going to be. We met them for about 3 hours last week. Great conversation. We did verify the alignment and talked a lot about how it would be constructed or how it could be constructed so that people are concerned about additional erosion. And what I was telling the county attorney, cognizant of that. So it was a very productive meeting, and I think that the concerns are still there. People are, I think, responding mostly to the occasional questionable character that's coming through, and they're concerned about people, you know, safety and.
To address that on 3rd and Washington, there's a hole in the road there. I'm meeting where the pipes are clogged from that gas station.
Right.
So I'm meeting staff out there, meeting out there. They're going to be up to fix it either this week or next.
So that has to do with a pipe?
Yeah, pipes came apart from a gas station and the pipe goes down the slope on the other side of the street. So they're fixing that right away before rain starts. I don't know if that's the hole that you had a complaint about.
I don't know either.
There's a hole in the street.
Yeah. I'm concerned about the rate of even vehicles or construction going on the road.
Right.
I know that a lot of the residents that I've talked to say that they're seriously concerned. And after the fact, what's going to happen then when it starts raining and things start on new construction?
Yeah. So what is the answer to that?
Well, the answer is that, you know, we have a geotechnical engineer on board. The answer is that, you know, we need to be real, the county is going to be real careful how they deal with the existing road surface and the new road surface. And the drainage as well. And we're thinking that there's probably going to be a stormwater system, a small amount on the back to get the water. You don't want to lose a lot of water on the top of the slope to get the water out. Probably leaving the existing pavement in place in a lot of areas. But tearing up the old road, in some areas, the road goes right to the edge of the bottom. You know, tearing that up is going to cause more damage than it resolves, mostly in aesthetic tissue anyway. So we'll probably leave it in place, put the new path on top of it, maybe dress some of the existing pavement, put some topsoil to provide some softer surface. Kind of nicer appearance. So, we've got a number of strategies to really prevent impact and hopefully mitigate the rate of erosion, even though the erosion is mostly a toe, it's happening down at the base, it's not happening at the top. And the base erodes, the slope steepens, and the gravel continues to travel on. So, and that's the approach.
Yeah, over time, there's a lot of community discussion that goes on when another house is seriously impacted in that area. And I think there's awareness that it's not that it's a matter of time, but that it's it is real, it isn't going to go away. And I am really looking for, you know, kind of the reality conversation that, I mean, is this 50 years and who cares? Somebody else's problem, or is this the next 5 years that these people are worrying about their houses falling into the water? Mm-hmm. I don't know enough to know.
That's a pretty short answer to that, actually. It's a 50-year deal. We did a 15-foot setback from the top of the slope, and that was based on a historical analysis that the geotech did, that it was about 1.5 inches to 1 inch per year, pretty steady. This is low, little upper trees, and that. That's right. And that,
Bluff Retreat,
it's called. Okay. And yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, you know, the houses themselves are decades back, but we want to make sure that the path had at least, you know, 50, 60 years of blood that day.
Is there access to the houses along the bluff from the other side, if in fact the road goes? Because we're talking about a community that's on the verge of a lot of growth, and having a major future that only has a 50-year shelf life is makes me wonder how these people are going to get down into town 50 years from now.
Yeah. Well, they'll have to go through the back door, you know, and see. So there'll be no vehicle access on the front there, except emergency vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Between first and second. And they'll be, we're looking at some drivable haulers, some other, other features. And then, but they do all that, there's an alley and that's going to go to the back. So
okay.
No, nobody's access.
Okay, that's the piece I was looking at.
So that is a road or a path that will be maintained by the county if something does happen in that regard to emergency.
That's a, you know, I think it's something. I mean, it's kind of something defining something.
Right.
Really, you know, I think that, I don't think the county has any intention or even has the ability to arm or control the slope there. To prevent that, you know,
bluff retreat. I think that's
the. Wouldn't necessarily, the armoring it wouldn't necessarily involve that either.
So, one question, if you look at the design, are you making accommodations now for the 104 realignment?
We are. Okay. Yeah, we are. We're making sure that the width of the roadway between the sidewalks would be sufficient for two lanes plus parking. And you know, some of this would, you know, be blown up every day if that happens, if and when that happens. But we're taking it into account in the design, so that that's minimized.
I know you told you needed a deleted digest version, but thank you for answering.
So the second one is the Kingston Regional Stormwater. And so we've been looking at alternatives over the last couple of months. And if you see some of the exhibits here, there were about four that made the short list. Two on Fort property. One was Cola Foley Park, another on Central, and then the two, one on the Fort at the Marina parking lot, and the other at the undeveloped property that is to the west of the boat trailer area. And these little schematics show the general concept. The regional facility is really intended to do a number of things. It's intended to improve treatment, and it's intended to improve the conveyance. There's some conveyance, special conveyance problems in Kingston. And it's intended to help support development and redevelopment. So as you might expect, a regional facility, the best places are usually at the bottom of the hill. And that's where it's important. So I know that this issue came up in the complete street phase. And so we were back again to kind of see the potential to move for this alternative to move forward in some fashion. In the kind of in summary, the best alternative from a just a stormwater management perspective would be a stormwater park type facility at the Marina parking lot, right down where the existing outfalls are, whether it's an existing on the slope, or you're at the bottom of the hill, and that's where the water wants to go. And you'd be able to treat the largest area of Kingston as well, which is nominal 50 acres. So, so that makes a lot of sense from a capital project financing perspective for the county, because part of the regional facility concept is to provide this to developers, and they tie in, they pay a fee, it's cheaper for them, cheaper, faster, everybody benefits. So we're here today to kind of answer any questions about this and see if this is a concept that the court feels like they'd be comfortable moving forward with. No hard commitment, but we need to kind of do a little more engineering to really understand some of the hydraulics. But there does appear to be sufficient space. There's about 4,000 to 5,000 square feet in kind of the grass area, that those little green spaces.
Okay.
And the I think it could be a nice feature and consistent with your landscape. And I provided some pictures of the Manchester facility to give you an idea of what the town has been doing. And a very nice facility. They can nice architectural and landscape features. And you know, I think there's some really nice direct benefits to the court as well. That your property connects to these things. You're going to provide treatment in accordance with the current manual, so it's a nice asset that would be available to the court as well.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to point out on that marina, sorry, I shared my hand up. No, this one. On the marina parking lot option, with the top mat up on the top of that page, you'll see there's a pipe that goes across your property, but we planned on only having four tier structures, so there won't.
I wondered about that.
Yeah, so we won't have to get in there and do maintenance on any of those. We can do maintenance from the edges of the property.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. You know, originally we had talked about putting it down through the and having it in the bottom of the hill property. This goes through the hill property, and hopefully we can get a shoreline permit to get close to the shoreline there. But it really allows the hill and top property to still be developable and allows us to have stormwater.
Who said the whole facility served, did I say you're right, 60 acres?
About 60 acres, yeah, up to the grocery store.
Wow.
So a lot of their urban village area and the high density development. Yeah.
And so if in the future the high density development things tend to go in concentric rings,
right.
Is there the potential for that to hook into the system? Or how does it? It will also work to go down to the lowest.
Well, it's all kind of. You're right. You know, we talked about the tolling yard, the tolling lot, the Finbog, and part of the issue here is there's a big treatment issue, but there's also a big conveyor. That the main storm pipe coming down Main is only 12 inches diameter. But so. You know, how does that relate to development that's way up at the basin and wants to connect in that system? And if we take some of the capacity off of that line and put it in another line and free up capacity, there's potential that, I think the important point is that the county's looking at their overall system as well as this particular facility to see how the whole system needs to work and how it can work together.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're saying that the Lindbaugh property probably would not be able to tap into that stormwater?
Probably not. Not into this treatment facility.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's too far up.
We met with the Department of Ecology and they said that was too big of a solution transfer to move it over there. But something's going to have to happen when the parking lot goes in, whether it's your property or off-top property.
Mm-hmm.
because that B type seems to, I don't know if you work on that project at all, but they're adding to that conveyance system over there, and they're not upsizing anything.
They had that with grandfathered, I think, somehow. Okay.
Oh, I don't know.
So,
I went in the pocket on a couple weeks ago and I said, I'm just gonna prove. So that's probably what
I think they had worked something out in the past, I think.
So now that that's happened, once the washout facility goes in, we'll have to look at some other options. We'll have to look at some other options.
Blue sky, what's another option?
Blue sky, best option in my opinion would be a new storm outfall separate from the stream down, starts right down here. So that they don't have to do detention up on the side, they talk, deep talk.
Yeah.
And we also get the water out of the stream. But it's, you know, that would be kind of a, and take some time to put that kind of thing together. So I think that's probably more than ideal for now.
Are there any other scenarios where this question I should ask you at some point?
Well, that's what we've talked about up till now. When I talked to Sean, and he said if that scenario doesn't happen, then the other option is replacing that whole conveyance line down.
Right. Well, I do recall a long time ago that there was, when this was Seaside Station, I think it was, the developer for that was looking at going straight down from his property to
So that portion we're not going to be able to pass, but we're going to redirect some of the water from Bannister down so we can get at least that amount of water out of the system. So if there is some redevelopment down here, they'll be able to keep their own water through the system and it'll be undercounted hopefully. The big push for this is to try to have all the new development coming in with the new footprint. And it'll be a big benefit to the builders that they can actually use the system that's there and not have to do water quality on site and they can use more of their device too.
So. Well, I get that, but I'm also aware that all the new development from footprint isn't all going to happen in the UDC. It's going to happen.
And this is the first. So this is the county's first project like this. If this goes well, then we want to use this template and do other projects the same way. So, I guess we'll see how this goes. But there's nothing saying that this is going to be your own regional facility in the system. We should do another facility.
So, this is a possibly completely disconnected question. We've been hearing in Kingston for 30 years that all of the Jefferson Hill and the area around the cove across the lake, it all gets sewered. It all goes into it. And so you have acre properties that are zoned into it that can't possibly hold more than two given such a. I guess I'm assuming that this in some way relates to that whole question. Stormwater and sewer treatment is in some way related to that breakdown.
Well, yes and no, but there's a little bit of an apple and orange. The new development stuff is all going to be the LID focus to get water in the system. The retrofit program is really dealing with areas that are in development system already. So, structures don't have really that opportunity to do that kind of planning or land development. Right? So, this retrofit project, the benefit would be that while people are redeveloping and connecting, they're still getting all the treatment benefits of treating all the water that's coming. So that's a big, social benefit to the public. But I think anybody who comes in, even a small lot, is not exempt from the LID requirements for one lot. They'll still have to meet the current manual, and if they
But on the sewer side, because I think your concern was right now we want to get density in this area, but there's septic requirements and setbacks for the drain fields and all that. So I think it seems they be working. I'm not part of the sewer division,
yeah.
But it seems like with the urban village planning, they would be working out those details right now. But
well, once you cross the snow, you're sort of into the rest of Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, it's been 30 years discussion about schooling out there, and it is, as far as I can tell, nowhere near reality. But that will continue to densify, and et cetera.
So that's it, that area is part of the urban, they can put sewer there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can ask the sewer manager.
That would be very nice.
Just so you guys know. Okay.
Well, I need to go back to another question that reported to a situation of a go, no-go on Lindbergh property with the state. And obviously, if in fact stormwater is going to be a major issue there, and it's going to cost, you know, three times the amount thought of for that property, are you telling us basically that if the seasonal stormwater facility goes in, and we can take water off Bannister for this facility, there's no way we could use the Bannister system for Linville?
And you're talking about the ferry tolling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There would be an incremental cost, for sure, because the stormwater coming well through this property from three or four outfalls along 104, and one of the things that we looked at is how to consolidate down, how to do it in a way that you have to maintain the wetlands and the streams that are coming through here and they're fed by now.
Mm-hmm.
So Jim, I don't want to give you a blue sky on this thing. I think that no matter how you slice us, that the parking lot project is going to have some significant stormwater costs.
You're talking about 3 acres of pavement.
That's right. And the soil conditions. I don't know if there's been a soil assessment. Probably some infiltration opportunity.
A lot of soil.
A lot of ground slopes back. There's a large development at the back end. There's
merit and all that development back there. Yeah.
Well, could the mill going in? When we talked last week, we thought that possibly we could use the system for that. Obviously, things have changed. We have other needs, and so that's concerning to me.
Well, even when we had the potential to have the reasonable stormwater at the park,
mm-hmm.
we still couldn't transfer the water. Ecology said we couldn't transfer that water over to the park, so.
That's weird because it all goes to the same spot. It all goes to Apple Tree. So,
well, they had some basin transfer issues. There's nothing written in stone. You have to do a hydrologic analysis.
Yeah.
And there's some flow splitters and
There's a wetland that could use some restoration. And then, of course, the creek that flows under the old Kingston Lumber site would be opportunity for a restoration project. You might be able to.
Is that permitting now, though?
That one is in permitting now.
Okay. And they don't have any plans to.
I don't believe so. But where it goes from underneath Napa all the way down through the back of that development there, what's it called? Where the Marine Service is down there. Lower Marine Service.
The Lower Bradley Center?
And the Lower Bradley Center that you might be able to do some restoration kind of activity and then partner that with the stormwater, like the Silverdale, mm-hmm. the stormwater facility there. you might be able to.
Topographically,
you could run that water in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was the original, back in the 90s when they did the original survey, do you remember what it said in our binder about what the stormwater plan was back then?
I don't remember that.
You know, that was 10 years ago, 11 years ago, so stormwater was a lot different back then.
Now.
Yeah.
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 Just to come back to your question, Jim, make sure that I understand. So, you know, I think the uncertainty component for the stormwater piece on that, the tolling lot, it's not that there's some uncertainty there just because the analysis hasn't really been completed. There's no capacity there.
Yeah.
How much would this contribute to the flooding problem that's at the end of that pipe? And is there a viable alternative to that? So, the uncertainty, I think, is, you know, those aren't huge questions to answer. They just haven't been. People are asking the questions, why stop asking? We're asking them. We haven't really got to the analysis. So, if there's a timing issue on your guys' end, that might help us to understand if that's something that's.
Well, there is money available to do that study. But, you know, we all know that another outfall would be cost prohibitive. Mm-hmm. We have to go that far. Okay, great. Thanks.
So, approach is really, you know, to come to make sure that, or from that point with you guys, is this idea or this concept mm-hmm. something that you would feel okay with moving forward with in terms of a process to, you know, verify some engineering feasibility and cost and look pretty close to that? And continue to work together to make it happen. The county is scheduled fairly aggressive, you know, potential construction in 2020, a new day of county, you know, design it, build it, work something out with the port in terms of the ownership, you know, there's going to be some ILA or something there, but, you know.
And is there, I assume there's piping that needs to happen under parking lot areas, things
like
that.
That's an important flat. And there's only a, you know, you've got your high side here and your parking lot there.
Yeah.
That's a small, so those are the issues for the capital that they're solvable. And that's really the reason for the question today. And, you know, the schedule really is to get the plan, the regional plan, which would define the facility components and the cost. And, that comes out of the, kind of before the first of the year.
Okay.
And commissioners, I think, as I would adopt that plan, is that the idea?
Yeah, so after we have a plan and the estimate, we could send out a letter to everyone. We have to send out a letter to everyone within the basin. Even if they're not going to be charged future, just let them know this is something that we're doing, this is an RCW, so this is the process that we go by. And I'd probably work with your CIO to make sure that since it's a joint project, to make sure the language is good and understandable to everyone. And then there's a comment period for that. I think it's a 20-day comment period. And then after that, if we don't get any comments, then we can take it straight to the commissioners for approval.
Cool.
And if we do get comments, then
we address them
with the commissioners. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's a great plan you guys laid out. You can tell a lot of thought went into this.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk over the years about using the port as a regional facility, and it's gotten a lot of pushback. But I think the town is right and the design is right to make that work.
So when will we know the cost implications, if any, for the port on regional storm facility?
I think you do know them now. There really is a soft cost. So there's no hard cost. The soft cost is, you know, there might be some increment of maintenance later that, you know, is worked out. And that was maybe some, you know.
But our idea now is to maintain that facility.
Right.
We didn't have to, so we have to have a permanent maintenance.
Okay.
So. And then in terms of timing, you're looking for a yes, go do this from us.
Yeah. And right now, we'd really like to start on getting survey work done in the parking lot, sure, so everything works out. So that's one of the, I know we said we're not asking for a yes, but you guys can yes on that, but we need to make sure we can do it.
But it sounds as if once we say yes, which I think we're probably leaning towards, mm-hmm, from the conversation we've had to date, then there's really, it's going. And then there'll be a 20-day comment period in which we'll be sort of like the neighbors. And then the county commissioners will address any concerns.
Well, you'll have more impact than the neighbors. It's not to say the neighbors won't have a big impact, but it's your property we're doing this on. So yeah, we'll be working with you along the way.
Okay. So there's an intention that we'll
collaborate more detail on it, what it would look like, where it will be, what impact would be the collection system, touch points, the frequency of use, and so on.
Okay.
More presentation.
Yeah, nothing will not come up here every month or a few weeks.
Yeah. Okay. And there's somebody on staff, I'm sure, who would be assigned to be your contact person, not just for PIO, but for the concrete elements of the project.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think if we're going to do a motion supporting this and saying go, that we probably need to do that in actually an open session other than a work session and vote on it, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're adjourning after this conversation, we're going into a work session, an actual meeting, and so we can take that up. If we're ready to vote, we'll do it. We'll see. Okay. If you want to hang around for that, you can, or not.
I'm glad.
So, Commissioner McClure, just to be clear, because this is a special meeting and it's not on the agenda for action, we can't take action today. We need to wait until the 23rd. I'm sorry, but
yeah, okay.
I didn't anticipate an action item today.
Okay. Well, there you are.
It's
the 23rd. There you go. So, Jim, does that mean we need to wait till the 23rd to start the survey for people over there?
Technically, yes. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. Your survey crew has been out all week, so you're already doing a lot of it. So,
okay.
I think we need to make sure we follow all of the rules in this particular one, because it is a big public work project that really needs some thought. But it seems like surveying wouldn't be a large investment on the county's part.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
I think it's fair to say that the mood of the commission is positive towards doing it, and in every conversation we've had, it's been positive towards doing it. So, as you evaluate the pros and cons of continuing the survey.
Okay. Yeah, we'll definitely be doing a little thing, but we're going to meet with the commercial business owners in the area, so we'll let you guys know when that's planned. And
Actually, I misspoke. The meeting's on the 26th. I'm sorry. At 1 o'clock?
It could have been
worse. Yeah, I know.
The Assistant Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, wow.
Is that the
Assistant Group? If
the county wanted to do this an outreach to the people that might use this facility, then what would be a good KCAC or
Well, I definitely think KCAC is important, but I also think you have to do a subset of the chamber, which is the stakeholders, commissioner stakeholders.
But I would urge there to be a lot of outreach from the chamber to its larger membership.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe you'll have a conversation with the chamber and then.
We can also assist with that. To put it things into the blog and so forth too. So we can change that.
Okay, definitely.
This is pretty
cool.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
So I didn't misspeak there in terms of a generally positive attitude at this point.
I think you were right on tap.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for our 15 minutes for talking.
20. Who stands in pledge of allegiance and let them have a flag.
Awesome.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So, is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
And now open for discussion. Is there anything that you want to add to the agenda?
I think so.
Yeah. One thing I would like to add, and I think it's a discussion item as opposed to an action item for sure, is the fuel contract to the chamber. So that becomes F under discussion.
Fuel contract.
Okay.
I'm going to clarify, you want to move that from an action item to a discussion?
Oh. No, they're different things.
They're different, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, is there a motion to accept the revised agenda?
I will move.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, there you go. So, public comments.
I don't have an agenda, so I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Do we have another agenda?
Yes. Okay. I'm the only one today.
Yeah. And thank you for coming.
You're a principal coach.
What the other times for discussion too, if you need to.
Well, I have no comment right now, I guess.
Okay. Again, opportunity as we go forward. Okay, so we have the presentation. We're down to action items. Contract with AMO Construction for sewer extensions and passenger ferry, paid for by Kentuck Transit.
Okay, so we have two contracts in front of you. One is for AMO. AMO Construction would provide a sewer extension out to the barge for the passenger ferry,
mm-hmm.
so that can be pumped out. It's a 25-gallon per minute pump at the end of on the barge that would pump effluent to the sewer system that we have. So the price for that is $123,500. It's a 900-foot run with a new pump and new electrical out there.
Mm-hmm.
The second contract you have in front of you is a very parallel contract, but it has to do with fuel service out there. This would be a 900-foot run with Pacific Environmental, a double-wall fuel line that would run out from basically where you go to the guest dock and where you go to the ferry. There's a Y, and that would be the demarcation point where there would be a high-speed pump that would go all the way out to the barge, delivering 50 gallons of fuel per minute to the barge.
Is that under all underground, I assume?
No, it's all above ground.
Oh, okay.
What the two contractors are working in tandem to hang steel hangers below the pier, all the way out.
The pier. Oh, okay.
And the hangar will accommodate both fuel line and sewer line.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so, like I said, they are working together on the boat. We tried to get one contractor to do both. But fuel contractors are a whole separate animal than sewer contractors.
Yeah.
So that's why there's two contracts. The fuel contract is a bit more expensive. It's $195,000. mainly because the requirements to deliver 50 gallons per minute instead of 25 gallons per minute. So that involves a lot more process. So anyway, these were the low bidders. It is a small works contract for both contractors.
Mm-hmm.
And
but I would recommend approving those two contracts so we can get started.
And I assume we are running the contract and then we're reimbursed by transit, right? Yeah,
yeah, everything's run through us.
Yeah.
So this was approved by Stephanie Lilly last week. She came out and walked the property with us. So.
And what does our contract with Pickup Transit say about this? Just want to make sure that we pull it through.
It says that that we will provide this as part of our $1.3 million reimbursement by December 1. That's all it says.
What we would be negotiating, I believe it all said it would be negotiating the fuel contract later.
This is just for the infrastructure. This isn't providing fuel, this isn't providing anything. It's putting the infrastructure in.
And this, and Stephanie has approved this contract, and I want to see it. And so, what the lump sum price, I think you called it, we had a contingency. Nope, I guess not. I made that up.
The contract, I think, handles.
This is just a proposal. You also, both of you have, or all of you have contracts that we emailed you in the actual.
Right.
Yeah.
17-day contract.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. This is probably where I thought it was interesting. So, is there any other discussion about this?
Is it hard and fast cost? I mean, this is a guaranteed cost.
Yeah.
And that price is good for 60 days.
Pretty much a guaranteed cost. We've thought of every foreseeable problem, but you never know when you start digging up fuel lines. But yeah, it's pretty much put everything in. And since it's all above ground, we're not digging up and going, we have a problem.
Yeah, good point. So
all the fill that was in there.
The local contractors do that, but I don't know. This one's just the MO is out of Poles, though.
Well, both of them were the contractors that did both of our systems, so they're very familiar. This environmental did our sewer system originally, and the MO did our sewer system out to the guest side. They're very familiar with it.
Have there been any issues with those fuel systems? With those systems that they installed?
Not at all. Wonderful, yeah.
Okay. So are we ready to approve this contract? Is there a motion to approve the contract with AMO Construction for a sewer extension for the passenger ferry?
I make a motion to approve the contract with AMO Construction.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
And is there a motion to approve the contract with Pacific Environmental Services for extension of fuel lines in the ferry barge paid for by Pacific Transit?
I move that we accept the Pacific Environmental contract for the fuel supply.
Second
that. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, so the next thing is the Centennial logo letterhead.
So I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I really did want you to see what Terry has put together to celebrate our centennial. And the big part of it, a lot of it is just boilerplate, but there is a tagline here, promoting economic vitality and enriching community life, that I wanted you to kind of talk about. No decisions need to be made today, but I wanted you to be aware of it. So Terry, do you have anything?
This was began to be used only for, between now and the end of our centennial year as part of our overall promotion and branding to get out there in front of the public that we have been here for 100 years. So this isn't replacing a regular letterhead.
And just so I'm clear, it's under action items because
we'd like to begin using that logo and those words if it's acceptable, and even the letter. Let's see, as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. It's in our planning and everything.
And in the process, and then you guys have the other letterhead of ordering 500 and putting up the letterhead to not go that fast.
Oh, okay.
We can still use the other template and just print it on the special paper. So if you want to go that way, that's all have the other one for backup tape. And then you see that old letterhead, it's just 40.
No,
those are the new ones. The old ones look like they're from the
70s. The only concern I have here is that when I took this position, I understood that, you know, all communications need to sign up to my department. I'd really like a chance to review this before we hear this change from our system letter.
Well,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So where did this come from?
That's the one that we were going to.
Okay. This doesn't say 2,000 miles worth, which is, we're talking about starting it to use it now.
Well, for example, we have, coming up later this month, we have the Prince Discovered Kingston up, and we want to be, again, branding our logo and message in front of people.
But what I'm saying is, I think it should include 2019. So there's no lack of misunderstanding about it.
Let me modify that and I'll send you all a copy. Is that all right? And you can review it. That would be fine with me. And if you know, we feel that we need to change our port stationery, I'll be glad to take a look at that.
Well, we're not really changing the port stationery. We're just ordering
paper
instead of us printing it out each time.
It's still
at the same
time.
All right. They'll come back to you with something
on the 26th. I'll be fine. Yeah. I'll get back to you. Incorporating the year.
I think one of the points is that as a commission, we need to decide whether we want this. How we feel about that is really important.
Uh-huh.
Because branding is branding.
Yeah, and once we go there, we're not...
Right, that's what I mean. Exactly.
Well, I like the fact that the boat is one of these...
It's a Carlisle, too.
Carlisle, yeah. Which is still out there doing stuff on the...
I personally like it,
yeah.
But I
yeah.
just want to make sure that we understand what we're...
Yeah.
What we're accepting.
Yeah, yeah.
So, this will be appearing on your beer posters. Anything that we sponsor next year mm-hmm. would have our Centennial logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being that we want to get this out and get it into the public's attention.
Yeah. Would it make sense to have, even though it says 100 years, would we add, you know, 1919
to 2019.
Yeah, well,
you remember,
that's a good point.
Didn't we talk about this in the commission meeting?
Yeah,
about
yeah.
us dying? It looked like a death that
right.
we survived 100 years and now we're
that's
dead.
Right, that's right.
What it would be easier to do, though, would be to add it to the logo tagline there in 1919 and 2019, either before or after the tagline.
Oh, right, down below.
So, yeah, I don't see that as a big issue.
But do we like the tagline? I think that's the more important issue here.
Mm-hmm.
Promoting economic vitality in this community life. And that was basically kind of the thrust of what your comments were about use of facilities and making sure that that's within real house.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this accomplishes that.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a component of the strategic plan that's a next step as well, right?
Mm-hmm. But it just does set us up for that.
Yeah.
It's hard to turn back.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We're in a house from
yeah.
everyone.
Yeah.
Can I can I get your blessing subject to your review of the revision to add the date?
What does that mean?
Oh, I have permission to go forward. I'll add the date and send that to you.
Okay.
How do we all feel about that headline? I don't have an issue with it.
No, I don't either.
I like it.
Do we need an action item in basically saying a move to approve it with the addition of the 1919-2019?
I think we'd all like to see it with that added on to it.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see the image. Take another look at the enriching being not a second clause, but it's starting with a capital.
Huh.
Yes, and maybe the punctuation after vitality goes away.
Thank
you. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Thank you. You're looking at your budget, and did you guys have any thoughts on, when I turned out from adding something about the environment, or no? Worried about that?
I think for now, I would say simple.
A simple letter
ad logo. Mm-hmm. And maybe when we go through the strategic plan update and have further discussion about direction and priorities, you know, maybe there's a third line at some point, but this seems like it takes us into the next step. Mm-hmm.
And this will be, basically printed out on an annual basis. Have 500 reads of it.
Yeah, right.
But if you decide you want to add a line, it's basically.
I do agree that the 1919 to 2019 does look a little bit like a tombstone.
Yeah.
Is it possible graphically to say 2019, 100 years, and include that in the
I'll give you several options.
Okay.
About the water.
In the water.
The water beneath the boat?
Yeah,
that seems extreme.
The other thing you could do would be to put the Port of Kingston up across the top so you get the whole thing, not just Washington.
Mm-hmm.
How
about the design by committee always works well.
Rather than take more time, just let me get back to
you. Let me finish my thought. If you change 100 years to the 19 to 19, and the top line of your tagline says celebrating 100 years of economic vitality, that way you have both things in there. And
at the beginning.
Yeah, to say celebrating 100 years.
That works. So three lines.
Yeah.
That's where you get the big buck.
Thank you for not letting me lose my train of thought. It only happens in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's good. I was thinking too, something like I'm sensing.
Okay, so you're going to bring it back. You have a meeting on the 11th. You can bring it back on the 11th.
Good.
Okay.
So do we need a motion authorizing them to go forward, or to go forward?
I can wait for the 11th.
Okay, we'll wait for the 11th. Okay. Item B, increasing seasonal mortgage rates.
Definitely. I got a huge wait list for people want to come in and spend the winter here, that it's a no-brainer for us to increase revenue that way, and these people will definitely step up to the plate, because if they were any place else, they'd be paying a heck of a lot more than what we're doing right now. I'm not into that, but I'm telling you, this is, 5% is real reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what you're talking about,
is 5%. So,
So 2.5 years ago, we used to charge the same rate as permanent mortgage for seasonal mortgage. And last year we upped it to 10%, and it seems like the demand has increased since then. So that's why an additional 5% is just for the court and just for the people that.
For the bank too, I mean, I had a lady I talked to yesterday, who was like, how much is it? And I told her, and I said, wow, sign me up, because whether or not right now it's either, it's going to be, I'm not going to get into hard numbers today, they're definitely going to jump all over it. Right. So.
Now, is this the agreement that they're, are they going to be on the dock for
6 months?
Yeah, 6 months.
Yeah, period. And then they have to go elsewhere.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
So just another way for winter mowers. We used to do winter mowers as seasonal because, so we offer from October to the end of March for the April. So
your round tenants are
not affected by this at all. No. It's just we have 51 customers out on the top, 15 people, voters that come in, and then they all done pay a little more fee, to a monthly little more fee. So it's just another way that we continually keep money, revenue coming in when there's some of our slow times. But they do know that they have to sign, they do sign a line that they're going to have to vacate the guest dock on our special night. So Christmas by evening when we have yacht clubs that come in for that.
Right.
So they know that they have to be mobile, be ready to move.
Do you have a sense of how many people that are on the waiting list who actually take advantage of this?
Yeah, I probably had at least 30 people call me up. Now, because I have to offer to the people that were there last year.
Yeah, okay.
And so if you have 30 people that are calling up and continually, and some of them that I might not know about, that called up. It's amazing.
And then some of these are Willowboard folks, I assume.
Correct, yeah. So they're, not really just moving around the whole time, but they come here and they love our quarters, it's really a desirable place to be in the
morning. Can you back on question, Willowboard?
Yep.
One of the things that I, in reviewing the 2018 budget, one of the things that I see was the fact that the seasonal rate was so expensive compared to what the permanent rate was.
Okay. So
it was my feeling, just making my own decision, looking at it, that the rate, that's where the rate that could be increased from month to
month. So why not go higher than 5%?
I mean, I thought about 10, but 5 was just a number, because we did 10 last year, and I didn't want to overwhelm someone. Not that they wouldn't have signed on for it, they would have. They could actually just talk to Tim and pick his brain over what his thoughts were, and I just put the 5% out there. But, 10% was definitely a high thought for me. I mean, people will definitely pay it. I mean, I know that, but I don't want that to be,
A lot more than 25%.
Yeah.
You want to incrementally do that,
yeah.
I think, because a lot of our guests are going to be repeat guests.
Yeah.
Do a 25% increase would be a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you do 5 this year, 5 next year, then all of a sudden you can get to the raise.
Okay,
so I'm Marina, and I'm charging 25%. Am I also doing an annual increase?
Yes.
So you'll never catch up with them. With their rate of increase.
Well, it's only an annual rate increase because their permanent mortgage increased. So it's still 25%, but it's 25% of a bigger rate.
That's
how we would catch up too.
So
if our permanent rate went up, then these percentages would be key to our permanent rate.
Okay.
I'm
trying to find the notes I took when I talked to Harriet. Port of Paul, though, in talking with them, they're doing a 5% rate increase, at least a minimum of 5.3 rate increase for existing tenants, and a 20% increase for new ones coming in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're going with.
The new tenants.
Mm-hmm.
The new tenant coming? Mm-hmm. Oh. It's a county nightmare, but it's an interesting way to do it.
I thought it was in talking with Carol.
Protect your existing and own
them. Yeah.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, she said a minimum of 5.3, I think is what she said. She said they hadn't finalized that, but they knew
that there was going to be a 20% increase for in new people.
So the seasonal mortgage rate of 6.75, okay, that is for this year.
Correct.
So the 2018-19
right.
Seasonal.
Yeah. And last year we waited until the first of the year to raise, so I think we get it rolling now that people know that up, that it's getting the shock at the start of the year. So, yeah, people definitely pay, that's for sure.
So when would this start?
The first of October.
This October.
This October, yeah.
Are there questions about this?
We wanted to do this every year also, I think, so I don't know if we can do that or not. Probably not.
Well, to consider this on a...
Yeah, and at some point, though,
yeah,
but I think that we just know that in this time next year, we need to do it. And you know, until we hit the 25% and decide whether we want to go over that or not. Just because we're at 10 now, and I feel like we'll get to
30. That would be 15, correct. So if you get 200 after this, you get to that point, yeah. And you just give it a break.
Could we make two changes to this as presented, one insert the 584 per foot for 2018-19 season, and then have a sentence that says something to the effect that this the increase will remain in effect until further notice, or but something that indicates that it's going to be ongoing,
uh-huh,
but not perpetual,
yeah,
necessarily.
Right.
You could do a 3-year motion if you wanted to right now. It says we're going to do a 5% increase over the next 3 years. And then it would do that, and it would sunset at the end of 3 years, or you could change it. But that way it would be done, you wouldn't have to think about it. Every year in October, you know that you're going up 5%, and the next one you're 5%.
I was thinking about, you know, what if we have a bunch of little boards that are going to need to Seattle as well. So are we leaving money laying around?
I think
that, you know, are there some out-of-state area folks that are really going to take advantage of it? And that is true because the person I'm talking about yesterday, I don't know, but that's what they're going to be doing. So what we could also do is that that little board fee would be increased,
yeah,
instead of keeping it at the lower
rate. If they're a little board, then
yeah, yeah, we're sorry, if there's two people living on it,
yeah,
and you charge a fee to them.
Yeah.
If you want to protect your little board you have now.
Yeah. That's
but you could do a seasonal little board rate of 75 bucks,
yeah,
whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah,
right
now it depends on the length of the vessel. Right. Because it's like, yeah. I mean, like you can't. You don't always know if people are being truthful with you unless we're looking at our cameras every day whether or not that person has been living on it. We don't have anybody living on it.
Yeah.
They come at 11 o'clock at night and sneak on their boat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's we've had that happen before,
yeah,
too. So,
yeah.
But I think just raising from 100 to, say, 150, you know, for the little board, and that covers one or two, you know, I think that's definitely should be the point, too. I agree with you 100%. And this when you said that about people going to Seattle, even, that's exactly what they wrote me about yesterday. So,
yeah.
And they don't know what the numbers are. These people have no idea. Right?
Nope.
I haven't issued them the signature.
Sure.
Right. So, yeah, yeah.
But if we did a 3-year, then we might be leaving potential money on the, you know, on the table. So I would think to me it makes sense to just do it with this year, and I'd re-examine next year. If I may, I would think that the number that I would be shooting for a little more would be $200 a month to be truly told. I mean, I think that way you're not leaving anything out there, and that will cover that second first, because there's going to be a man and wife in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go crazy. I mean,
I think you could push back if you wanted to go more than 25%. You know,
yeah, right.
But I agree with Ray, if there's empty little boards, you can do anything you want.
Yeah.
So, we had debated for a moment there. So I'm looking at, it's staying here 5%, which we were talking about how that would work over the next 3 years. That would bring us up to 15%. But if we did 7% a year, it would get us up to that 21.
My only concern is that if we lock in now, which is for a multi-year period.
Yes. Oh, it's
why don't we just let's just do it for this year.
Yeah.
And then take a look throughout, you know, next one over the winter and see what happens with the pasture fairy and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
That's unknown at this point what's going on in that. So
we locked in at the 5% or
for this year.
So just another perspective. What if the liveaboard rate was part of what we addressed in the overall mortgage rate study?
Oh, right.
But this be something that we could impact over the 3 years through March of 2021, which I think is pretty
soon. So you mean the actual amount, but yet it's still going to be increased by the 5%?
Yeah.
But the actual amount is what we'll address in our...
The separate liveaboard situation.
Oh, the separate liveaboard.
Oh, okay. I agree.
The reason gets to be more.
Nothing
to do with
liveaboard.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
So, over the liveaboard situation, we would look at with the rate study.
Yeah.
So then, let me just so I understand too. So we're going to do the 5%. So do we want to move it up a little bit with the liveaboard fee this year on the seasonal mortgage, which I'm good with? I mean, you know. I'm just saying that $100 isn't a lot. We've been thinking about that for the last couple of years. $100 isn't a lot. I mean, I think you see it still a little higher. I don't want to be that guy freezing in people's pockets.
You need to remember that there's no meters on the guest side, so that $100 includes electricity. A heater on board could easily burn $100
of
electricity.
Okay,
So, if there were meters on the dock, it'd be a lot easier to say this is how much electricity we need.
I think Greg makes a very good point, and you do too. It should be
Shower here too. Yeah, I mean they're getting a lot of amenities too. So, and when we get our Wi-Fi out, it's a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something Evergreen, like Jim and I always talk about. Evergreen is their version for that. I'm not saying we're going to do that. Yeah. I just say you go to like Edmonds and stuff like that. And those poor people are going to pay $68 a month for Wi-Fi over there. You know, and so I'm just saying that with what the people on the guest dock are getting, I don't think we're being unreasonable raising that with a word fee at all.
I didn't realize that electricity wasn't metered, and I think Jim's right. People chew up a lot of money and running a heater 24/7.
Yeah, the future boat could have been designed. Tropical plants and boats.
So how often is it? So let me explain to me the per foot charge versus the liveaboard charge. Those are two separate fees.
That is correct.
And how often do they pay the liveaboard charge?
Every month.
And they pay their footage charge.
Correct, yeah. Okay. So they're getting a bill to bank account.
Okay, right.
Including leasehold tax.
And so with the way rent is up society right now, you know, for people, I mean, this is a no-brainer for these people to want.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's like you said, you don't want to leave too much money out there, you won't have.
So right now it's $100 a month?
Yeah.
In order to not make it terribly complicated, I think that this was really about the liveaboard fee. I mean, about the everything about this season's rental fees, and which would include both the liveable board and when we bite the bullet, we raise it all. And then next year, when after we've done the rate study and all of that, we can take another look at
what
happened.
That's what I was
thinking. Yeah.
I agree.
So how much do you think we can get for the liveable board season?
$200.
I think it's absolutely $200 for the liveable board season. Getting all those extras and rooms that, and we've seen a couple of our tenants that want power and under power bills on either day, and that whole thing off the park. So people are like, well, shoot, I'm, you know, open their windows, and heater going off. You know.
Well, but what I'm thinking about is this
going to
be the
liveable
board for the whole
marina
then?
No, it's just for
seasonal. They have their own contract.
Get an idea of the cost changes over the winter. I suppose the fuel dock is part of that.
No, that's a different year. That's true. It's part of the fuel dock with the admin.
Oh, yeah.
It's not its own separate.
So that's good for the next year. We could show you what the usage was on the desktop for the winter.
That would be part of the thing that we could look at, yeah.
And you could look at, what have we got, nine little boards. You could look at all of the nine little boards now that are full-time and average what their electric bill is and say the average boat earns $67 a month in January. I don't see $200 being a difference with all the other stuff
that I don't. Not when you can't even, you know, I mean, you really can't even get a one-bedroom, you know, cottage or something like that.
So we're paying between $450 and $500 a month, and we're not seasonal.
This is all about the seasonal mortgage rate. We're raising the board fees per month to $200 and increasing the mortgage rate 5%. Both to go from October 1 of 2018 to March 31 of 2019.
Okay.
So,
I like it. I think it's
terrific.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing it up.
So I would entertain a motion that we, as we just described, we raise the annual fee by 5% and include a new liveable fee of $200 per month for a 1 year period. To be re-examined.
So raise the monthly rate.
Raise the monthly rate.
By 5%. Plus $200.
Yeah. Right.
Or seasonal.
Or seasonal. Mortgage.
Cool. I second that with a comment. It can be changed to say from October 1st to using your view after March 31st.
Oh, right.
Because that's when this is a time frame, anytime after March 31st.
We changed it from winter mortgage to seasonal because that also would help me if I want to put somebody in a dire need in a situation and I had a spot on the other one, so that seasonal could pertain also from my native. That's why I changed the winter mortgage used to be just defined as these months, and now so that's why we changed the verbiage at the top, just in case I got some flow on, I guess I may be making money, I can put somebody in there like that and not be a sublease.
So if we have somebody come in, you're saying a different time of the year than between October and March, that this will also apply to them?
That would apply to them.
So do we need to amend what we, to any seasonal? Well, we need to amend our motion.
Well, if you amended winter to be seasonal with that in intention.
Right.
But we specifically said October 1st to March 31st.
Yeah, we had a time period here. Typical time period.
Yeah.
You don't need the April.
Yeah, you're
No, this is going to be like a couple
more seasonal. Yeah, right.
And
there.
Say out the date.
Yeah.
That's just a hard one after the discussion.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. Effective October 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can still say that we could review after April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
So should we re-say that? If you want to.
Okay, so the next thing is the Memorandum of Understanding between the Port of Kingston and the Greater Kingston Kiwanis Club for the Port of Kingston Kiwanis Park.
So, the last meeting, the Commission approved naming the park the Port of Kingston Kiwanis Park, which is a great idea. And your executive director took that as directive to sign the MOU, but my handy assistant over there reminded me that the Commission did not authorize me to sign the MOU, just to name the park. So, this is a technicality, but it's something that needs to be done in open session.
I authorize that we give Tim the ability to re-sign the MOU for the Kiwanis, Port of Kingston Kiwanis Park.
That's awesome. I will second that.
So we have a motion on the floor to authorize Tim to sign the MOU. But we don't have a motion approving the MOU.
Oh.
It's different from authorizing him to sign.
That's right, we just gave him a permission.
Yeah.
So we have to do both of them, right?
No, I thought we did
previously.
I think that,
no, it was just the naming of the park.
Yeah, just the naming of the park. I think we need to approve the MOU. We did contribute the MOU. Everybody sat around and said, oh yeah, that was good. We changed it once. But you're right, you did not approve the document.
So can I do those both in the same motion?
Yeah.
So I make a motion that we approve the MOU, the Port of Kingston Kiwanis Park MOU, and authorize Jim to sign it on the port's behalf.
And I will second that revision.
Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thanks for that chat.
Well, I remember thinking last time, why don't we do the whole MOU and all that? No, no. Okay, so the next thing is item F, the Eelgrass Monitoring Survey Scope of Work.
So as you're aware, the Corps of Engineers paid you a visit last week and said, where is your Eelgrass Monitoring Survey? And I said, what Eelgrass Monitoring Survey? Apparently when we did the dredge, we had an obligation in that permit to monitor eelgrass replanting in 5 and 10 years. So we are at our 5-year time right now and we need to get that done. Mm-hmm. He reminded me that eelgrass needs to be monitored from June to September when it's in its growing season. So I scrambled to try to find somebody that could actually get it done by September. I think, I'm not positive that Greta and Associates can do this.
at least the in-water work before the end of September. It may take them a month or two to write the report.
Okay.
I got to say, I've never met with a federal bureaucrat like I met with the Corps of Engineers. She was the most professional person I've ever met with. She acknowledged that she understands that sometimes things fall through the cracks. She wants to help us get this done. So there wasn't a gun to your head, we're going to sue you if you don't have this done. She stated that if we couldn't get it done this September, we could do it next year.
Oh, okay.
She would prefer it done this year, but she understands. So this is an opportunity for us. Greta has provided me with a draft scope of work. The total is $26,631, so it will be on the fourth design. I should tell you that in the file, I eventually found a proposal from Greta Associates for a monitoring program that was going to cost $44,000. So the cost has either come down or their scope of work has come down.
Well, they did not. Maybe they did have to do the first year one, two, three.
So anyway, should the board want to proceed, I think we can get this done this year. I had a rate check with the tribes to make sure that there are no tribal fishing openings because we will have to step down the ramp for at least a day or two.
So when I talked to folks at Washington, Swellen, they indicated that they don't have anything. They've got some fishing going on over in St. Clair Inlet right now, but they're not going to be any openings coming down to our boat ramp at all. But I did tell them that when we found out that we moved forward with it, that I'd given the date that we would have our boat, and then I was going to reach out to Terry and have him put it out there that our boat ramp will be closed and we'll post it wherever we need to post it, which is everywhere,
mm-hmm.
even down in the fuel lot, you know, whatnot. We talked to him, he's going to like me and all this too. And that everybody's on board, so I mean, we should get it done.
You also had experience working with Greta?
Yeah, we did years ago when they were doing the old drafts. We were out there working, and it was very professional people. Bob and I got to do most of the work out in the water with them and stuff like that, making sure that nobody comes into their zone while they're doing their inspection.
Okay, yeah.
And so we got a pretty good plan going. We worked directly with them, too. So.
They're the ones that did all of the mitigation.
Oh, that's what I wondered about, too. They were the same company.
Same company.
Yeah.
Really
the same. Yeah, so they're real familiar with it. They installed. So that makes sense.
Is this something, too, that you reach out to the other ports in the area and let them know that they might see increased activity on their ramp because we're having our ramp closed?
We it's not going to be really that crazy busy. There are ice checks on Florida. The Edmund Fishing Derby is the 9th of September, and then the Everett Derby is the 22nd, 23rd, which is the weekend. So it's not going to. When they want to do it, it's probably going to be midweek or maybe the week. So
yeah,
we shouldn't be really affecting too many wrecks. I may understand because I've been some talk with them a lot of them and the fishing wildlife people that are down there judging people's boats and fishing and stuff. But that boat has that word on it. It goes pretty viral.
Jim, did you say this has to be done every 5 years?
Yeah, for the Louisiana Demetanian.
It can be, as I understand, that the 10-year point is closed out, or at least it's, they have an understanding of when that's completed and considered okie-dokie, if you will.
So this is a 5-year one, and then after this will be 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years.
And this wasn't in the budget, I take it.
Then we could approve the scope of work as presented and then authorize you to final negotiate the contract with the same. Because I'm assuming that Tommy's at the essence of the money fund if there's a prayer of getting it done by the end of the month. So are there other questions, other discussion points?
I will thank them for getting that phone over here. That's so important. It really is.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad that the Army Corps was accommodating for that too.
I recognize that none of us were here in that beginning stage, and that it was something that fell through the cracks.
Yeah.
And
Something three executive directors before me.
Right. Yeah. But you did find a permit that was done years ago, but was never acted on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so is there a motion to approve the scope of work as presented and authorize him to negotiate the final contract and sign it?
I so move.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Well, that's great. Okay, so that moves us to discussion items. I'd like to note the time is 10 after 10, and that I have... Okay, there's a lot here. The next steps in the executive director search. Anybody want to start it off? I'm happy to make a global comment, please.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
I would like to say that I do not think that we are ready to interview candidates next week and we figure out who's the appropriate. I mean, I assume you are trying to make some candidates. When that was happening, then Sue, thank you for your running that down for me. I would be happy to respond to Sam and say, "No, we're not there yet."
Yeah.
And
I had in my conversation with her. And this was kind of early on, I think, that I had a phone conversation with her. And, you know, she was wondering, hey, shall I, you know, set a calendar aside for whenever? And I said, well, the quickest it could possibly be, and then I mentioned the 11th, only because it was a work session and we could have a potential special session, you know, for that to happen. And so that was probably where that came from. So,
okay.
All right, yeah.
Good to know. Okay, so, since you had a conversation,
yes, I can, I totally.
Okay, cool.
I think she actually mentioned that to me earlier, but I think I'm trying to remember what I said back.
Okay. My sense of where we left the conversation at the end of the last meeting was that each of us would make contact with the people that have come forward and said they were interested. And as well as some of the protocols, though, people. And then we would take the opportunity to compare notes and figure out and have further discussion about where we go. I'm not feeling that we're ready to say this is where we're going, this is how we're going to do this search. I feel like I have some more homework to do with some of the candidates that have put themselves forward. But what is your thoughts?
Well, I have that same feeling too, and there's a couple that I haven't had a chance to meet face to face at this point, so so I think it's premature as well. That's my opinion anyway.
I'm pretty well, I think I'm a little step ahead too.
I think you,
I've met with everyone, and so
whenever
you guys are on board to discuss what our next steps are, I'm ready to talk about them. I personally think our next step is, do we interview what we have once we get to that point, or do we put out a net? I think those are where we have to decide to go from here.
You already have resumes in hand?
I think I have two.
I have two.
And interest by other
people.
Yeah, other talks. So we could plan to have that conversation among the three of us at our work session on September 11th. we have DOT at that point, and no, we don't have DOT.
And you need to agree to,
yeah.
I don't think there's anything you didn't for the 11th.
For the 11th, so that's
stationary.
Right. And we're making decisions to be creating that as a special meeting thing, right?
Decision is just that.
That makes sense.
I will not be there, but you might want to have AC and you want either there or.
Makes sense that we should have it a special meeting in case we want to make a decision.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
About how to proceed or how to go.
About a procedure. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
But we're not anticipating discussing candidates on the 11th.
I thought discussing what our next steps would be.
Next steps.
I think we probably will be amongst ourselves talking about conversations with the different candidates.
Well, do be aware that it will be a recorded session with the voters instead of a work session.
You can have an executive session on personnel, so should you have a go into executive session, you can do that.
Okay, so we could do that considering for the second floor.
Yes, we could definitely set it up to have an executive session and a work session.
Discussion of park events, reservation policies, event tent, and gazebo.
The urgency on those is basically Lacey's getting a lot of phone calls. People want to reserve the tent, want to reserve the stage, want to reserve the gazebo in the park. So we have to determine, number one, do we want to rent the gazebo out because it's going to be and take time to take the tables out and relocate the tables, so there'll be a lot of staff time involved. Are we going to have a tent next year? So we're going to replace the skin on the tent. So these are some questions that Lacey needs answers to, so she can let people know what's going on.
I think we had a conversation at one point about the tent itself, to actually get two tents so that we could alternate the 6 month permit as a concept, so we could theoretically keep the tent up and alternate that 6 month period.
And the county official, you really saying that the county official?
Why not? It's a fire marshal permit.
Okay. So explain to me how that works.
There is a requirement that you can only have an occupancy for a 6 month time period for a membrane type of building. And so we actually had two separate tents that were cycled back and forth, so you could theoretically have the thing up year-round, or pretty close to year-round.
Take it down, and there could
be a time period where you couldn't have it, but if you had two tents, then...
Well, we have to do that with Christmas.
Yeah.
We rent a tent for that week of Christmas last
year. Right.
So does that mean there was $2,500 total?
The
bigger question is, we have this fancy facility and we don't make any money.
Okay, right.
So the Kiwanis use it for free, or other uses it for free, or Dodge Club uses it for free, and so we keep paying $500 for that. So where does that stop?
And then we think about enriching community.
I don't know if we're going to have a lot of people that want to use it too, because those winter months. I wondered that if there was an idea of, because most, I would think most groups would think, I don't know that I can have an event.
And I know the tour is based on the tent.
Yeah.
Having it up during the winter months would be pretty significant too. And did that you know, got that idea of putting up for a Christmas thing. You know, I was a great idea that, you know, I would just want it done, you know, one night done. But I think spending that extra money, I think, my truth be told, I think that town will go another year at least.
Okay.
So I think at least have six corners of it for having that 2 years back, and I think that, I think it'll go.
We actually
sent it back to the people that were
okay.
And so they cast the size of it to the corners that have more stress on it. So
how much does the tank cost? What's the cost of the tank itself?
The skin is $10,000.
Okay.
This is the tank. Because the tank is good.
Yeah. So I don't know if it'll even pencil out the amount of rental we get for.
So we could, if we were charging,
uh-huh.
We would be making almost 3,600
uh-huh.
every year.
Mm-hmm.
Now then we have to
return
for the net, that's -5, you know. And then if it does last, what, 10 years, depends.
Yeah,
right? So I mean, at the end of it, you're paying for the tent.
Yeah.
And the putting it up and, you know, the tent is not put it up. But I think it works even if we're, you know, think about if we're actually charging for the tent.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we need to be doing.
So one thing that the Rotary was doing was they were actually putting it up, but this past year Tim had our staff did the Rotary didn't really want to be involved with it. So I like his idea of saying that, you know, maybe the Rotary, which I love all of our Kiwanis and Rotary and stuff like that, but I think like Jim said, you know, maybe the Rotary didn't want to be a participant, but enough taking it down and keeping it clean like they were, maybe they should be charged a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not trying to cause any problem with them or anything, but.
I know that one of the team that we are here is one of the organizations, I mean, in, like, background organizations. Kiwanis, that there is one for the Kiwanis to breathe at.
So the summer beer garden is Rotary, not Kiwanis.
Oh, okay, I apologize. That's
down,
on
the down the list.
Oh, summer beer fest.
Yeah.
That's the farmer's market is the only one that carries, but they pretty much use it the least.
Yeah,
you're right.
I absolutely, when I'm doing this, and so, you know, I don't know
about
you.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
It's the same thing as what we charge. One of my thoughts was to do something similar to the farmer's market, having an agreement with Kiwanis.
Mm-hmm.
Where we are charging that because they have that date that they leave it, you know, and we're charging them, you know, with an agreement. We can use it, you know, these 6 Saturdays or 8 Saturdays, you know, and
mm-hmm.
this is what's going to happen, and these are the times, and this is how much it costs.
So you're saying right now there is no agreement with any of them for mm-hmm. use?
There is not.
And there should be something in writing.
Yeah.
I think you want to get at least the amount of money, like $1,000 a year, in order to replace the tent at the end of the natural life.
Well, we need to pay the cost of the permit or a tent replacement fund.
So if we get charged, we're not making a lot of money off of it. So we also run into, if we get into some sort of agreement with the different service organizations to have them contribute like this,
and let's say 2 years down the road, we decide to do something with that property. We'd have to reflect in our contract, you know, something in relation to that so that there's no question that eventually the property will probably be developed.
Well, people can do it every year with them because they might, their things might change, their needs might change.
Correct.
You know, so it'd be something that, yeah, I would at the beginning of, you know, at the end of the summer year when they start planning their things for the next season, then I would, we would just make a small amendment to it and have them re-sign.
Okay. And what's the current period of the tanking up?
May to October, right? May, June, July, August, September, October. So that should be the first of November that it will go down.
October, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It doesn't appear that you're really charging much for the event.
Really, it's something for people to have an event here, and so that was good. If you even want to make it cheaper over the three that have it, because it really isn't that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's $150 for the tent and the together, and it's $100 for just the tent or $100 for just the
space.
$150 for 10 times 8.
So it's going to be a standard contract, basically.
Yeah, we have one now, but we have, you know, someone might, so for example, during almost Summerfest, I think, we had one of the yacht clubs come in, and they used it and got permits and everything, and they had a little party in there for their yacht club.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they paid them, you know, $100 for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an agreement that I have, an application, essentially, letting them know the permits they need to know what they're doing and the rules, and
we've worked extremely hard, the commission and I, to embrace the community and be a community partner. And going to Rotary, Kiwanis, and Chamber asking for $800, I think we destroy a lot of the political capital we bought.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to say, we're talking $500, because all we're talking expenses. You're both worth blowing $10,000 in political capital for $500.
Yeah, right.
I think there is something to be said if the tent needs replacing, if you determine that, then you're going to have to fund it through the board for the tent as it is. I personally would recommend you not do that, just because we worked so hard to build that trust and partnership.
The problem with that is that we have to have an agreement of some sort, and that has to get into our.
And now what you could do, Lacey, and I think it's worked very well, is our agreement for the Welcome to Kingston sign, where Rotary and Kiwanis would pay an annual fee, and that allows them 12 times instead of saying it's $100 a time and you pay. I think you really need to be careful on how you approach these. I know each of these people, and I know it's not going to bode well for people to say in the women, but.
Yeah, you think that you didn't think through the amount of money that the Kiwanis lose for other, other things that they benefit. Is it possible to get a grant for the cost of the new tent?
It might also be not that difficult to raise $10,000. That's not a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Some
individual dollars.
But if you've got a grant with the purpose that it's for the benefit of fraternal organizations, I should say, you know, organizations like Kiwanis and Rotary, with that money is being spent to benefit, you know, whatever their mission is. I don't know who would write the grant, but I'm sure they'd get money out there for something.
I mean, there are some people on here, like the wine walk, maybe you could charge for that, or maybe you could charge for the yacht club beer tent. But stuff like Rotary and Kiwanis is a tough one.
And Chamber?
Kiwanis, Rotary, Chamber, and I mean, to me, the Farmers Market almost fits in with that too, because of the.
When the first release was done with the Farmers Market, the rationale was that that enabled the port to ask us for, to ask the market for insurance on the other things. Why doesn't that apply to other people? That other people have them buy do insurance as well, do they? Do we require them also do insurance?
See, and that's what my business then was at. You need to. And so that's why, no matter what, you have to have them sign some sort of an agreement. And even if it's just a little bit, you know.
I would imagine each one of those agencies, groups has their own insurance policy.
The Chamber sends us their insurance policy. I know the Yacht Club, we have their insurance policy. I don't know about Kiwanis
and Wyandotte, probably not, I'm guessing.
That goes under the Chamber and overall, I think. I would just caution you to tread lightly on that.
Yeah.
It can backfire on you.
So a contract for each one of these outfits.
It probably could be a pretty universal contract, depending on... especially if we were going for no monetary value, but yet we do want insurance and we do want, if you're going to have an event, but yet we need to have, as we ran into with the Eugenia Jones issue a couple weeks ago, need to have specific.
What was that? What
more
was
specific
that?
About timelines and not overlapping and things like that.
She said,
oh,
she said that there was an agreement in writing with the port from 6 months ago, and I asked her to produce, could she send it to me so that we could understand how this all got to be such a snafu, and she never did. She immediately cleared away, because we had Lacey very clear, specific, here's what you have, and et cetera, from 2 weeks earlier.
But it could be a very simple contract.
I think that it would be the same as kind of what we have now, because we need to, it's just that how it's always been done, is they haven't had to, they haven't needed to, and they.
We needed oftentimes to show that we were receiving something of value. Would it be possible that part of that contract would be words to the effect, that the tent was provided courtesy of the Port of Kingston. Worded in such a way that, we don't have any legal liability for alcohol. But acknowledging that the port has made that possible, and then we could incorporate, the port logo or the Centennial logo. What problems do we get into with that?
That's a really good point.
Well, we do have to have something of value back, and we would be a co-sponsor. So if we're giving our hands, our stage, and our property, and we're for free, in that sense, then we would need to be designated as that sponsor, and we would need, that would be what we're giving back of value, but we would need to be in their advertising, support work, and then that puts our name out there, brings people to the port, so it would need to be, and also the agreement would need to say, they're paying for this, they're doing this, they're doing this. Our portion is the tent, and our port, and the stage, and the land. That's all our person is, as a
co-sponsor. I would think, liability basis of, if we are providing the facility in the event or unfortunate thing of somebody getting in a wreck or whatever from being at a beer tent on the port facility, that's kind of a slippery place to be, I think.
It is. Maybe it's worth investigating, because it would certainly be another way that we can communicate to people what the court is doing and help promote even the centennial if we have a place.
I actually didn't realize nobody would pay.
This is actually, though, our partnership. And some of these are already partners with the court.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting the advertising for our compensation.
Mm-hmm.
And what works is not
Oh, yeah, right. You mean the reader board?
Yeah. Well, and them having the court logo on.
Uh-huh. Oh, there you go.
Could be considered so we wouldn't be viewed as giving something away.
Yeah, right.
And it would work. Like I said, we just have that agreement because they're doing this with their funding that they're doing that. And this is about our competition.
Right.
And when they promote it online and social media and all, our logo is there.
Yeah.
That's what they pay.
That would be a way to not stepping on toes.
So it's also a very nice way to say it. The court is here, because I've been in this situation before. The court is here, we're going to help you promote your event, and we're going to provide the tips. And the time for it, you're going to promote the hell out of the court.
Yeah.
And that's the quid pro quo.
So it sounds like we're looking for you to be more research and come back to us with whatever policy that would be useful and recommendations.
Okay.
Awesome. That's really. Thank you for making fun of it.
Thank you for transmogrifying the event with reaching each other into a positive.
That was kind of cold that day, wasn't it?
Do you have easily available the contract with the farmers market?
Yeah, not
with
this.
Most of
it, I can send it. Right.
Okay. Could you check what its expiration date is?
Yeah.
So, should this also be on topic for discussion on the 11th, or further out than that? I'm sure on the 11th. Okay, so the next item is the timeline of the mortgage rate meeting. I don't know that we can lay out the timeline today, but we can figure out what some parameters are, and just have to figure out the task.
I've been talking to Paul and Brian, and they feel they're still doing their research. I tried to get them to do it before I left next week, and it's not going to happen. So they would feel comfortable the 26th. The meeting, special meeting, or normally, the 26th. For the next day. We do need to keep in mind that we've only budgeted them for 2 meetings. So they can have everything for you earlier than that if you'd like to have a meeting. So if you'd like them to be at the next meeting, it should be a pretty robust meeting. They won't be back. They're only going to be giving you their final report after that meeting. Or we need to call them back and pay them for them.
Right.
Let's see.
So
we had mentioned at our last meeting that we were going to do some evening. To me, that's what I thought we were going to be trying to decide. And then, so are we going to wait until after we get our report to do those?
Well, does that make sense? You know, have a evening meeting and maybe have a work session meeting, one of the work sessions in October, maybe we create a special meeting.
So how does that work into the budget plan?
Well, what is already developed in the budget with a 10% more increase.
Okay.
So that'll be your first line of a 10%. You're probably not going to want to do a 10% rate increase, but at least you'll know what that looks like.
Uh-huh. Right.
And then you can always take that back to 5%, 6%, whatever you feel
appropriate. Right.
So you're going to be looking at numbers for the 10% rate increase.
Okay.
So if you look at getting the rate study on the medium 26, then I would imagine that that's going to be an item that we're going to try to distribute pretty far and wide.
Yeah, it's really helpful from a presentation's point of view if you could make a decision today so that I could start getting it out.
Okay.
Particularly at the Southern Kingston, because we can promote that, you know, there on our booth as well.
Uh-huh.
I think Paul making a presentation on the 26th or whatever day you think you could move into the evening would be very beneficial, and then he would come back with a report for you that you could deal with whatever you want.
I would like to get the meeting, the report, at least the draft report, which is what we're talking about at this stage, after, I mean before, publicly. So you think that you can do that before you want?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll have it at least a week before that.
A week before.
So we're talking about having him at the meeting on the 26th, and whether or not that would be a day meeting or a evening meeting?
We could always have a special meeting a couple days before the 26th. Leave the 26th at 1 o'clock. Maybe do an evening meeting on the 22nd, 23rd.
22nd is the Scott Kingston.
That's a Saturday, yeah.
And so do it the 20th, Monday?
The 20th is KCAC open house at 4 o'clock.
Discover Kingston open house is the 20th. So, well, that would be actually nice to have the rate study then and have a presence at the open house to, you know, discuss the rate study. Mm-hmm. People can, maybe get up copies of it, et cetera, for the public to pick up. And then mention then at that meeting that there will be discussed at the regular meeting. But we have to do something special if we change our regular work session from about the timing of it.
It becomes a special meeting. It just becomes a special meeting.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
I'd almost rather see, you know, an evening meeting even like the following week or something.
So after your regular meeting for the first week in October, have a night meeting.
KCAC is the first Wednesday of October.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I wonder if KCAC has a special topic for Wednesday. If you could sure ask Beth, because I think I saw Beth out here.
She's walking back and forth.
I was seeing her.
But what would that have to do with rates?
That we could have that would be difficult to do.
It's really county activity.
Yeah.
I mean, you can keep the court
center
quite focused.
If you're thinking of that day, like, or
we could do it
the evening after on the 4th.
Yeah, we could cancel our regular Tuesday session
So we're talking about having a evening meeting a week after our regular meeting. The week of October 1st to the 5th.
I mean, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Can we have...
So we know...
Well, we're going to have their recommendations by then.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have, probably going to have enough time after the 26th to provide some... Essentially, because it would just be public comment, you know, at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But then... taking additional comments.
Open meeting.
Okay. And then you might not want to actually vote on it until November.
So that's what I'm wondering. Or even the later October session.
The budget doesn't need to be done until Thanksgiving.
On Wednesday. So that way it gives people one more opportunity. Well, before they could provide comments and coming into a work session meeting as well,
mm-hmm.
and we can take those comments. So there would be the other opportunities would be the work session on the 9th and the 16th, and then our regular meeting on October 24th. Then we might have enough things together by the end to make a decision, perhaps.
Yes, you need to have a public hearing on the budget. So as long as you can communicate to Juanita what you're thinking, she can provide 3 or 4 budgets. Do the 3% increase and a 5% and a 10%.
Right.
And then when you do your public hearing just before Thanksgiving on the budget, then you can adopt whatever is appropriate at the time. But you have a lot of time to discuss the public.
And is that the 21st, let's see, hang on, it's the 4th, the 31st is a Wednesday,
yeah.
October, so the first Wednesday is the 7th, 14th, 21st, is it going to be 28th?
Yeah, I think so.
I thought I was the only one. So you talked about the 9th and the 16th work sessions as an opportunity for people to speak. And then the regular meeting is the 24th. Okay. Because I'd like to be able to get the information out. You know, you have more than one option.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you have more than one option to comment and. We expect the draft, the main focus on
the
communicating on the, what would be the 20.
I don't know if you know anyone, I don't know if they're going to have it happen at the work session, because in the fact that they said one, they're thinking of their work session time, and two, I mean, we would just want to move it because we would just have no idea if we could really get who was going to come into the conference room upstairs.
Oh, yeah, good point, yeah.
But the other side of that is we want to look like we're just as transparent as could be. We really want everybody to have a chance to talk.
Well, right, but that's what we
so think. By putting in several days, it makes us look like we really are interested.
Because we advertise them all at once.
We'll advertise them all at once as a way of demonstrating good faith. And Jim, could they provide us with a PowerPoint presentation of their recommendations or whatever that we could have there at Discover Kingston, and we could run that like we did at the boat show on the big monitor?
I think you're a little ahead of yourself.
Ken,
I really think that we shouldn't be distributing a report that we don't know what we're talking about. But we really need that report presented by the guy that did it.
Yeah.
And after that point, they distribute it with a PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Right.
But to do that before, I think, would be a
good point.
So it's getting to determine when you want Paul there.
Right.
Present those findings, and then from that point,
so I thought we were going to do that on the 26th.
26th, you come to present, right?
If we can.
Okay, is that the regular meeting?
Yeah.
Regular. What's the 24th?
That's October.
So, I wanted to say what I think the dates are that I've heard, and then we can.
Okay.
A week by 9/19, we're going to get a draft. And then we will come and present the findings on the 26th at our regular meeting. And then we'll have three opportunities for community public comment and blah, blah, which we won't be at as things stand now. One is the evening of Thursday, October 4th, and then at the two work sessions, Tuesday, October 9th and 16th. And then we will take action on the 24th of a regular meeting.
Mm-hmm.
If we feel ready to.
If we feel ready to.
That all sounds good. I would just recommend that the whole presentation be in the evening, not at 1.
Oh, really? Okay.
So you can move your 2016 to the evening, but I think you'll get more participation from more attendance in the evening
right.
In the afternoon.
Yeah, okay.
So if you want it on the 26th, I would just move that to an evening meeting and then you're covered.
I agree with what you just said, because his first presentation that we had, it was during the day, and we said we would have evening, and so I think that we should move our regular meeting to Thursday evening, October 4th, because Wednesday is the KCAC evening. So if we do it Thursday, October 4th, and have him present then.
But then I guess it should we even move
this
one?
Should
we just go on our regular meeting and
conduct
our regular business?
On the 26th. And have a special meeting on the evening of the 4th.
Yeah, because nobody's going to want to hear our regular.
I'm just thinking about the timing and, we even have enough notice to understand that. So at this point, today is the 4th, so in a month. And then this will carry too, because then you can get that out there as well.
So we're saying that the 4th
or the
is going to be the regular meeting.
Maybe the 4th we have a special session, evening special session.
So we'll still do our one
that
before.
That noodles out pretty well, I
think. So where do we go? Okay, we'll come back. I'm going out again, but when do we want them to come?
The 4th, Thursday,
and then he has PowerPoint that he provides us
to
do for the 9th and the 16th.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this is what I think we decided, Terry, although we are heading at this point. The 9/26 meeting, he is not presenting. We're just doing our regular meeting, and we're doing that during the day as usual. Then in and so that isn't really focused on the late study at all. That's just our later meetings and whatever else we're doing. And then the outreach involves three meetings.
Mm-hmm.
A special meeting on the evening of Thursday, October 4th,
mm-hmm.
where he will be presenting. And then at our regular work sessions on Tuesday, October 9 and 16, we will take additional public comment with the proviso that we have the full presentation, the full report, draft report, on the website from the 4th forward.
Right.
Actually, do we want to put it on the website a few days before that meeting for people that just don't take that in? So it should go on the website by
September 28th.
Okay.
Do we need a whole week to digest?
Yeah, and that way we don't have to deal with it at all on the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
which I think is a good idea. I think if we set it at 7 or 7:30, it's clear that our expectation is that we're not going to go very much. I think doing it at 6:30 is more invitational.
6:30 sounds good. Yeah.
6:30.
Okay. And the other ones we stay at 8:30.
Mm-hmm. And here, at the probably in the big room there,
Do we have an ongoing contract with Village Inn for the week?
For one meeting. For one meeting. Okay.
We have two.
I think
it's
two.
So we will have to pay more for a couple, two additional.
Two additional that month, you know, in October, yeah.
If we only use it once in month A, can we apply it to month B?
Yeah, the 9th and the 16th, regular work sessions, and when people can't time to work, they have 10 work sessions at any time. So, providing a little bit more flexibility, I think.
Yeah. So then we'll have basically a week with it on the website before an evening presentation where they can ask 1,000 questions,
yeah.
And then we will take additional public comment for 2 more weeks after that. So it's good news.
So you wanted to say in the thing, full presentation will be on the website after September 28th. That way, if we get it up on the 28th, great.
Make sure you email the commissioners of work.
What I'll do is put together a poster and I'll email it to all of you. No review.
So you're talking October
28th? No,
no, November
28th. Thank you.
Available
September 28th. After September 28th.
We get it the 19th. And then it goes on the website.
20.
Okay.
So who's going to put together this schedule?
Tracy? Yeah, I will.
Yay.
Cool.
And then we leave for our conference the day after.
In October?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, when is that?
17th, 18th, 19th.
The babies will be born in the States.
Oh, and that's really wise. You can get out of town after. So that's the budget leaked out.
So it's the 17th. It starts in the morning. Do we leave on the late the 16th or on the 17th?
It starts on the 17th. Do you remember, Lacey?
I think it starts in that.
Usually that first day is an evening.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a time to start. I can ring you, let you know. But I believe that if we go up the night before, I think it starts the same in the morning.
On the 7th.
So if it's the first thing in the morning, the question is do we travel the early?
I'm pretty sure that we
or travel the day before.
It's just for some reason I haven't got for the day before.
Okay. So you'll check when it actually says, oh, we could find the WCPA website itself.
Okay, I'll stop and send out a reminder.
Okay.
With Jim's imminent departure, would it make good sense for now that when it comes to media releases and support, I need to send all three of you a copy in advance so you can review and approve?
Yeah, it doesn't start until October 18th in Leavenworth.
That's what I was thinking.
So that's
what
I
had
to say.
The
17th for Thursday, October 18th, and Friday, the 19th.
That's why.
Okay, so we're traveling. We're going
to see Santa.
7 a.m. Yeah.
I hope so. Or at least the October.
And then what happens on Friday?
Oh, it's normally over by 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And then you drive back.
Okay.
Thursday,
yeah, October 18th. Okay. Yeah. Really good. So there's nothing going on.
Cool.
And I would just sit there all day. I need questions to say, what's the truth anyway? And this question.
Coming up to
11th? Yeah. Yeah. There's a room.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see what happens. Okay, so that takes us, I think we're set on what we're doing with the merge rate meetings and process. And we're trying to make sure that it's ready to feed into the budget. And when what does the budget process look like? You know, not as fine-grained as this, but generally speaking.
So, well, here's going to be your first draft in the 24th or 26th of the budget.
Of September?
September.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will, it's the draft, and then you'll go through and discuss priorities and how that fits. I said if you can give her direction on mortgage rates, you know, this is kind of thinking that she can give you a range of reality of what that would mean.
Okay, so we'll get the draft on the 19th of the mortgage
rate.
And then we could all pledge to make sure we get our thoughts to her about the small, medium, large budget.
And then you have to approve it, so you need a public hearing, and it's to be advertised 2 weeks before your meeting in November. So it's like the 8th or 9th of November, you put an ad in the paper, then you're going to do a public hearing on the budget. And then, I don't know when your November meeting it would be, but hopefully it's before Thanksgiving. And
I think it's after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
I think.
I think
so I'd recommend having a special meeting so that it's done, so that when you can get to the county before Thanksgiving.
Right.
Technically, you're held until December 1, so you always keep the Thanksgiving in the time.
Yeah. Yeah, the first Wednesday of November is actually the 7th. Is that how we cut it? That's the regular meeting. So 7/14/21 and it's the 4th Wednesday of the 28th.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then if we would do it before Thanksgiving, it would be the 21st?
Yes, right.
But that's like Wednesday, that's the day before Thanksgiving,
Everybody takes up those 3 days off of Thanksgiving.
So we can do it before that. That could be a couple
of meetings for the budget. On the 14th?
Yeah.
The 14th
is one of those
days.
So
Veterans Day is the
12th. Just remember to advertise the
public hearing. Okay, yeah.
And it has to be stated that in the newspaper at public hearing.
Okay.
And so that puts our doing a public hearing on the 14th?
Mm-hmm.
It'd be the 14th or the 4th. November
Now last year we were done early, so I mean you could do it in October if you want. It just depends on where you are in the mortgage rate process.
Yeah, that would be a component.
Yeah.
Okay,
we
wouldn't
do it
until
after the hearing with the public.
So we're saying meeting with the public hearing being the 14th of November?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
We can do one, we can do two, whatever time you guys would like. And that will be after our October 24th meeting, which is when we're going to vote on October 24th. Yeah. 2 weeks after that. 3 weeks after that. 3 weeks after that. Recommendation from the guy that doesn't do this anymore. I personally would recommend that you vote on mortgage rate at the public hearing.
Oh,
that's the public hearing. That's what I would do.
Okay.
That way you've got the most people not only there for the entire public hearing that kind of integrates the budget, but I think it's better than trying to say we're going to raise the mortgage rate and 2 weeks later for a budget.
Right, yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So walk that through that one more time.
Yeah.
So you would just hold off on making any decision on mortgage rates until the public hearing on the budget, where one leader would present you with three budgets.
Say,
here's the budget with a 3% increase, 5% increase, 8%, whatever those numbers are. Then you would get input in a public hearing environment from the people. They already have this information, so they engage, and then you make a decision on which budget to approve at that point in the public hearing. It gets the most people there and the most ability to talk.
Could we see the three small, medium, large budget options? Well, before
absolutely.
Because once he gives us the draft, he should be able to, he's already got the budget.
There should be no surprises at the public hearing. You guys should know that budget inside and out. It's just to hear from the public.
Yeah.
You should know the ramifications.
And then do I post that budget information on the web too?
Yeah.
Like, who supports the one? I need you to know that I do the. Okay.
Totally transparent. If you're going to do three options, you've got all three options up on the website so they can see the ramifications. So it's so important how it's going to work together, not just more days, but how. Because, I mean, what we're going to talk about here in a second, the Centennial Celebration is going to cost $12,000, and that money is not budgeted anywhere, so we need to figure out where that's going to fall into the grand scheme.
Right, we're also then, if you want to get into Kingston Community News, we're going to have to get into the October issue. Well, they'll call it the November issue.
Oh, right?
It'll come out at the end of October,
yeah.
So that'll have to be in by mid-month.
Yeah, I wonder about
October.
Yeah. A lot of people see things there.
Well, it's probably easier to see if you're more independent, which we're going to be the most effective individually.
Before we take that break, I just want to ask if you could put together the flow, the show flow for the mortgage that you have next to the show flow for budget and so that we can see how the whole thing works, and if you could add in the media deadline, that would be helpful too.
Okay. And really quick, you guys wanted to settle on time for the 14th, so I can reserve all those with Linda at the same time.
Public hearing
and the mortgage.
should that be evening, or should it be, I'm thinking evening.
Evening, probably. Yeah.
So 6:30 again?
Yeah, and that 6:30 for the morning show and 6:30 for the session.
Nothing else is going on in town that evening. I don't see anything.
So October 17th.
No, 14th. Oh, no.
No, I have to write that right down.
Oh,
in,
sorry.
Yeah, October 17th.
November.
Oh, November.
November 16th is one.
That's November.
November, the 14th, that makes sense. Yeah. October 16th and November 14th.
And October 9th.
Okay.
And then the presentation on October 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, down at the court, I'll have to have that in by 12.
October 4th is the evening, right? The presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
30, 10:04.
6:30. And then.
Nice.
And then on the 20th, again, the regular meeting would be on the 24th, right?
And it's at the regular time.
At the regular time.
Yeah. I will send you guys. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it. Mary, I'll make it really clear and. Let's see what's going on.
Yeah, if you could see me on that too, Lacey, so I can be sure I get the dates right on the communication, but I sure appreciate it.
That's great. We're going to have links and everybody talking about this.
So what will happen is they'll say, well, I never heard about it.
And November 14th.
So the next item is the discussion of the process for the comp plan meetings, and I think the most useful thing we could get at this point would be an overview of the timing requirements. So, and then go into the sort of same level of detail next time we actually meet, depending on when those are.
So your comp plan expires at the end of this year, but all that means for a port is you can't apply for an RCO grant, a state grant. So if you want to apply for a state grant, you have to have a revised comp plan. So there are two alternatives. You can take your present comp plan in effect. You can go through and change a few sentences and re-adopt that until you have time to really vet and reprocess. That way you're current, and if you want to apply for a grant, say, here's my comp plan. We'll reaffirm it in public session. What a lot of ports do is they reaffirm their comp plan every budget public hearing. So as part of your budget hearing, you could say, we're going to do our budget, mortgage rate, and comp plan done. That would give you time if you want to wait a little bit. The problem with that is you just keep pushing it out and procrastinating. You've got to set a deadline. But there is no gun to your head, except you can't apply for an RCO grant until you have it completed.
You know what the RCO grant application cycle is?
It's March.
March.
For sure it's March.
So is there any reason why in September we can't schedule a few times that we're actually sitting down and looking at it and talking about it?
Work session coming up might be a good opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
A lot on your plate.
Yeah,
a lot on your plate.
We do, but we're not going to be getting our, we're not going to be getting really any information on the rate studies until the 19th at the earliest, correct? So there's no reason why the next two work
sessions, we can't be looking at it
through,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least that's my feeling, because I think sooner we get on it, the better we are. Not, I don't want to rush it, but yet I want to.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really constructive to have conversations sooner than later about whether we want to really do a huge process.
Right.
But doing a huge process or digging into priorities at in September, I think is absolutely, I think that's suicidal.
But there's no reason why what you just said, going through and deleting, adding, those kind of things, could be a pretty quick thing.
Might be.
I think Nancy's already laid out something for you, haven't you, Nancy?
Yeah, I was just thinking that. I think that I could have something for you guys at one of the work sessions, and you could just kind of look at it, you know, briefly talk about it. You can decide if you want to do something quick. I think we can at least have a conversation about it at one of the work sessions, and I can have some stuff for you guys.
Yep, and I, for instance, what's the Centennial slogan? There are some things like that that we could do to keep
people
safe. And I'm assuming that would be in this.
Right.
And I had also gone ahead to request too, so I've come up with some graphics and things for her piece, so we can try to
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
That's great. Yeah.
So when do you think, Rachel, you can have that too?
So that next week, so we're doing some other things next week, right? A lot of you guys kind of have your work sessions. So the next one after that is the
16th.
So I can have something for you guys on the 18th to, you know, well, a couple days before, so you can look at it and feel and.
Yeah.
So should we schedule the 18th for a little bit longer than, how does that work for you, Steve?
I think it's okay. I typically have a critical meeting 2 days at 1:30. Yeah, that might be a little wordsmithing and things like that, but we can do some.
That's your last
copies,
new
right
day,
now.
Isn't it?
What?
The 18th.
No.
Okay.
So then, would you plan to try to get that to us before the weekend?
Friday before.
Okay.
Oh, right, okay.
I think that's a great way to go, is just to adopt something that you're, so you have it and have a date on it.
Yeah.
But there were changes because we brought Washington Boulevard Park into it, you know, we bought other properties that when it was done 7 years ago didn't exist.
You've got pictures too that you can add in. And
yeah, I just did a small research on the, you know, cost of living, et cetera. What homes are selling.
I would encourage you when you do your big public outreach to form, you know, a fourth strategic advisory committee. We have one now, but really to get community input from the get-go on what they envision the community board to be in. That's a big process. That's a very long process.
Yeah,
it's
a big process.
And
however we do it, whatever happens with staff leadership should be involved in that process. Okay. And Lacey, thank you. We'll look forward to getting that.
Yeah.
Discussion of the Centennial.
So the issue before us is we've been talking about the Centennial event, and I think it's going to be a great celebration of 100 years. And one of the things the Vision Bylaws has made it such a Kingston party. There's no better party band than Craig Kingston.
downtown, because they will bring people from everywhere, from Eastern Washington, Seattle, people who are to see them. The urgency of this discussion is that in order to book him, we need to send him a $3,000 deposit, non-refundable, for the centennial event. And I want to make sure the commission is comfortable knowing that this event could cost, Terry said 15, I said 12, but it's between that $12,000 to $15,000 range. Terry thinks it's $6,000 for all the stage equipment, lighting, and all that.
Front bands, $11,000.
Yep. So that, you know, if you want to have a day long party, you want to have somebody out there in front. And that could be something that the chamber provides. We talked about kids' bouncy houses like they have here at the Village Green, to get as many families down to the fourth celebrating as we can. If we can put that transit into giving boat rides on the Carlisle, we may need to kick in some fuel money to allow that to happen. So there's going to be some expenses in this. And I want to make sure that you're all on board with the enthusiasm of celebrating 100 years with Gaston.
Well, we're also looking at ways, you know, if we can get things donated or provided. One of the, I think, most exciting things right now is that Dale Fay, who's the Emmy Award-winning director of Lucy's studio to Kingston, is going for free to do a commercial for this hotel. So, you know, it's about 10 or 15 grand that's not going to cost us.
Oh, wow.
So we are working every way we can, not, you know, to avoid spending money if not necessary. But we're really lucky. Jim happens to be good friends with Gordy. This has a real opportunity to partner with Kitchen Transit and Chamber and to really showcase Kingston, because Jim says probably the number one band in Seattle.
What is the era of the music?
It is 50s through 80s. It's stuff that we all know.
Yeah, that's good. So, but it is real, as opposed to them all. He said they're on this.
Oh, them all love it too.
The tunes that you play will be universally heard.
There are dance bands. You will not see people sitting in lawn chairs. People will be up dancing. It will be crazy. They filled the balloon hangar in Port Townsend last year, which is loaded. And that's 3,000 people.
Wow, that's good. So clearly no market that day.
Well, this is the time they're going to be meeting, so it's 6 to 9, I think. Yeah.
What we did was we reserved all the parks, pavilions, gazebos, moorings, tails moorings, at this point for the centennial. But you and I had discussed having a heirloom farmer's market.
Right, but we're not going to do at market anything that has the chaos that of when vendors break down, having to have it done within 30 seconds of the next thing happening. So if we can make it happen, I'm all for it. It'd be good for everybody. But it is a big drag, the whole evening weekend thing.
Yeah, and we don't need or want, nor should we have that. I think one of the things with Jim's departure, I've been working almost exclusively with him, as well as community members, much more involvement now, I think, with y'all. In terms of, you know, where we're going forward with this. We're at that point where we've got to start locking the cards up to pull them down a little bit too
much.
Car shows, the band, right. All the things need to get locked down.
I do think the market shouldn't schedule anyone on stage, because the stage will be occupied that day.
So then there will be no music that day? During the market?
There could be.
I heard a banjo player outside of Albertson the other day. This kid was just on his list.
I've heard him before.
He's great.
Remember, we now have two venues.
because they have a gazebo as well.
Yeah.
We're in discussion for the high school, and they would basically provide reenactors and some, that whole area up there would be for the 1920s.
Uh-huh.
So there's a possibility of music up there as well. The new park really opens up some interesting opportunities.
Yeah.
And it's dragged the event out of the valley and up.
From the valley to the mountain.
From the valley to the mountain.
There you go.
Washington Boulevard wouldn't be starting.
No,
it's
not starting until like September, October.
September, so.
It's in late fall.
Late fall, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you only believe
it? Mean early spring.
But in reality, they'll be later. They won't be earlier.
Yeah.
I hope it's late fall.
Okay. So this $3,000 is out of the 2018 budget. Mm-hmm. What's its impact? Have we had much else that has been unscheduled in our budget this year?
Yeah, we've had a lot.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to get...
Two boxes.
Yeah.
So, we've had a lot of major impact in our budget. We're about 30,000 over in Washington Boulevard Park. We've had a lot of impact.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that, I mean, we had a fund balance of just under $2 million at the start of the year, and now we're down to $1 million. So we're down $1 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at all the legal costs we've incurred and the settlements, it's the same.
Yeah.
I think we're looking out to 2019 and knowing that this is going to be a big event. Knowing this is something that everyone is already talking about, having this huge event, I think it would be in our best interest to make sure that we have a really good band that's going to be coming and playing. And in order to do that, we do have to put down the deposit for it.
Yeah.
If we want to get the date that we want.
Yeah, I think it's an in for a dollar, in for a dollar sort of situation.
I would think this is going to be a bigger event of Christmas lighting.
And it'll be in July, so I think it'll be even a bigger event because it won't be cold. Hopefully.
Mm. And well, and not for this session, but today, but later. The whole plan to really kick off the centennial at this Christmas, build to the anniversary and then wrap it up next Christmas.
I have a writer for the Home and Garden magazine that wants pictures of the Christmas lights so that she can do a feature article on it.
Good.
Remind me if you're ready to send pictures.
Yeah, we've had a request from Wagner, the cruise boat magazine, boat people. They want photos and a story on the Christmas lights too to put into this year's publication.
You should contact him for Patrick about her photo the court.
Yeah.
She has other photos too. Mm-hmm. You should get in touch with her.
Okay.
I have her number if you need it.
Yeah, well, I can always use her excuse to get a lemon fog tea.
So, I'm sure we could go on discussing the centennial in a lot of detail, but is there a motion to secure the services of Freddie Pink and the Freddie Pink band and with the $3,000 down payment and the executive director signing the contract? However you want to word it.
Okay.
which contract?
I make a motion that we give the $3,000 deposit and that we allow our executive director to sign a contract with Fraser for a centennial next year.
I second that.
Any further discussion?
Nope.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Study.
Thank you.
Awesome. And look, no more public comment.
Right.
And our next meeting date remains September 26th. That is coming up. That needs to be negotiated with circumstances. We talked about the importance of Frank being at least a resource.
Yes.
Not necessarily a negotiator, but a resource on the final output.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some pretty strong conversation originating from Ray Carpenter, that he's very familiar with all of the ins and outs of the fuel contract as it exists, or the fuel purchasing from somewhere. And so the question is how and who negotiates on behalf of the force. And I'm assuming that Stephanie Lilly or John Clawson is probably the pair that we're going to see one or both of. And given staffing, I would be happy to play that role, recognizing that I'm not negotiating myself, I'm negotiating on behalf and to bring it back to you guys for.
And Frank would be the loop on that.
In the loop. Not necessarily at the meeting, but in the loop.
Yeah.
So. Coming.
What other options do you have in regards to this?
Free fuel. You know, Mary and I talked about this. Mary has a great relationship with John. I think he probably is the person that should be the front person. Ray knows how to order fuel and understands all that. But I'll tell you how the lease went. And the lease went with John and I sitting down in John's office. Frank and I, excuse me, sitting down in John's office. And I think Gerald can get involved in this because she's more operations than Stephanie's facility. And I think the four of you and John's going to want his attorney there could sit down and handle this out in one or two meetings. I'm going to plan on giving you all my thoughts on how that's going to work. And I'm now working on kind of a 10% margin. So fuel costs us $3, they pay us 30 cents a gallon.
Uh-huh.
We normally make 60 cents a gallon for a regular recreational motor. And if you equate that to 1,000 gallons, that's $3,000 a week. So I'll give you a starting point of what I think. John's probably not going to want to pay 10%, but that's what you and Frank should do is sit down. Having Frank there with their attorney there is good because they're going to sit in a new lease, and that's how the lease contract is.
What was their option? I mean, they had, there was discussion, I think, when I first came on about lower this fuel up somewhere in Seattle, and so it's going to be a lot cheaper for them, and this and that, so I recall that.
So they were only, we get a really good fuel rate. From Astro, and when I gave them our fuel costs, they couldn't buy it from Astro.
Oh, okay.
So that's when Casey came back and said, we're going to invest in the infrastructure to do it.
Right.
Plus, they don't have to go back and forth to Princeton or Bradenton or other places to fuel, especially if they're doing 1,000 gallons a day.
Yeah.
So they're going to push back, and I'm going to tell you, John, if you're listening, we just invested $190,000 in infrastructure to get fuel out there. Why are you charging us 30 cents a gallon?
Yeah.
But, you know, we have the tanks, we have the pumps, we have the concrete that the trucks are going to go over, we have to order, Juanita has to build them. So these are all costs that are costs of the port that really need to be compensated for.
Yeah. So a tank or tanks or whatever.
It's going to be somewhere between 7% and 10%. Yeah, I think it's a real number that's going to be, it's going to be good for the port, but it's going to be $60,000 a year to port.
So we negotiated our other contracts with that in mind, with the whole,
yeah,
it's going to be good for the court, it's going to be good for the community. And so we did give them a really fair, upfront deal, and we all listened to the meeting that happened.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that this is a way that we are compensated. That's my feeling.
A little softer, more softer stated than all the feels, but yes.
Thank you.
The people we're discussing right now is for Mary to reach out to John and whoever he determined to start that process. So,
that's good.
Do we need a motion on that behalf?
I don't think you do, but I want to make sure you're all on board with that.
Well, yeah.
If that is, if I have no doubt that Mary has a great relationship with John. She has for years. I have no doubt. And I think that if we're all comfortable with that, I think that that's, and I know she'll keep us in the loop because that's what she does. So, yeah.
So are there quotes of discomfort? Because
I just wanted to make sure that this was something, because I don't know the ins and outs of this. I know you have a great relationship with John, but I also wanted to make sure, I wanted to get Jim's input on what he felt too.
Well, and I would certainly want to go and actually sit with Jim, take the talking points.
Yeah.
Right. And also do the same thing with Ray so that I can make sure that I have enough of the operational understanding that I can talk and tell us about
the meeting. Is Ray going to be in on the meeting that you have with John?
I don't know yet what I would recommend. I think my initial thought was actually that the first meeting would be John and whoever he wanted, and me and Ray, and then the second meeting we bring the attorneys in. That's what I was anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the timeline I'm having to have this done?
November 15th.
Okay.
The only reason I say that is because I feel that you would be a better negotiator in regards to what.
Well, you've got the clout as the chair of the commission.
Ray
is hard on that, but he knows enough and bolts, doesn't have the clout.
Yeah.
So you would go in as.
Yeah, I would expect that would be the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But my sense of John, who is an operations guy through and through, is that there may be very useful quotes in that conversation where Ray's perspective or additional information would ring a bell.
It would be good for your briefing, though, to totally brief if that was going to be make sure that you had a consistent, putting forward a consistent date.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And then communication-wise through Lacey, I think makes sense to
make sure we're all
in the loop on what's going on and whatnot. But,
So that meeting will happen when?
Well, we want to have it done by mid-November, so I think that the
backtracking,
I think I want to have Well, we'll have to talk this week, and then I'd like to have another week to sift and synthesize.
We have a good nexus here with the contract with the statute.
Oh, yeah, when did those start?
And
good.
And the fuel.
Well, we have 60
supply.
Days. We're good for 60 days.
Yeah.
And we're signing in today?
Yeah.
So that's November 4th.
Right.
Well,
this is
finally
before, so
yeah,
right. But if you sign them today, then basically everyone's committed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you get them in the order of the pipe, everything else was in the pump.
Because they're paying for that regardless of...
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's totally separate thing.
Right.
Right.
And I would really, and we'll talk about it, I would really recommend that you have a short-term fuel contract and you don't do a 30-year fuel contract.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they're going to want. You're going to provide a fuel for 30 years and you're going to say, not so much.
Yeah.
So you do a 5 year, it's extendable for 5 years.
Right.
Well, thanks a lot for fuel.
Yeah, and it's completely... The facility rental is really different than the operational.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But they're going to do all the pumping. You know, the only thing Ray is going to be in charge of is making sure there's enough fuel in the tank. So he's going to have to get on their schedule to know every other day when they're
trucking.
But other than that, Juanita will be more involved with the totalizer to build them. Because she'll have to go up there either every other day or every third day and say, hey, you need 5,000 gallons of fuel, and I'm going to bill them for that plus the market.
How big is the holding tank?
Oh, on the boat? 2,800 gallons.
Okay.
So they can go 2 days, I think.
2 days without fuel.
Yeah. But if it's 50 gallons a minute, you got to think about that. 2,800 gallons to 50 gallons a minute, still takes a long time.
I saw a photo of the plane, and it was fantastic. That outside persona, if you will, is gorgeous.
The story that was written up about it, about what Tilka could observe in 9/11,
yeah.
Really very wonderful story.
It gave me a feel of it.
Fun here, wrote it, right?
Yeah. It was really good.
Yeah.
One of the things that we're looking at for the centennial is that Sanjay would like us to work with them to create an exhibit that would include some of the artifacts from the planet.
So
the story on the mosquito fleet, the idea that their marketing thrust is mosquito fleet is returning.
Here's the new mosquito fleet.
Yeah. We're working on that.
One thing that people don't realize is the fire is almost four times cubic size of the Red Bull. So you saw how big the Red Bull was. You can envision that twice as wide and twice as tall.
It's
when you look at the marina.
Yeah.
Well, and it's over twice the capacity of the Ritz Passage.
Yeah, right.
And there will be days in November when you wish it was even bigger if you're riding on it.
Probably.
Yeah.
What?
Filter from the storm.
So, I think that is concludes our meeting today. Motion to adjourn. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second that.
Any discussion?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
All right.